welcome to the first of many Siskoid Cinema Battles on the Siskoid Cinema feed, the show where myself and guests build a movie-related bracket and argue the merits of each participant until there is only one left standing. In the future, the show might pit Bond girls against one another, or movies in a certain genre, or particular directors' films to find out which is the best of all time in that moment, according to these few people. I'm your host, Siskoid, and today we put 32 of the best anime films in the arena. And to help me do this, I have two guests who watch a lot of anime. Anime experts, you might say.
Oh.
Both from the Ohatmu or Not show. We have José, art girl, Rabichaud.
Hi.
And Isabelle Shotgun Godin.
Hello.
So is it fair to say that you guys are anime experts?
No.
No. Okay.
But how much anime do you watch?
Okay, contradiction, too much.
And not enough anymore.
Oh.
But, like, it's just very hard to watch sometimes when you have a full-time job and other things to do. But I still watch it when I can.
I feel bad because I can't relate to anything or anyone anymore because all I watch is anime.
Okay.
Like,
you've given up on live action.
Basically.
I done that a long time ago.
It doesn't help that my boyfriend is also very much deeply into the anime culture as well. So we have our Anime Monday where we watch our anime shows every Monday, the new episodes that comes out. And on top of that, I just watch other shit on my own and all I do except gaming.
I'm kind of the reverse in the way that I'm always like, oh, you want to watch an animated film? I'm like, eh. You know, I prefer live action. But I always enjoy them, mm-hmm. But it's always a harder sell. I don't know, like, sit down and watch it. I mean, doing this exercise with you, and I've seen a lot of these movies with you guys. A number of these films we went to see in theaters, yeah, when they came back, the Ghibli films, which are going to be part of this. And Shotgun, when we were roommates,
yeah,
had like an anime marathon.
Yeah, I used to write a blog, and on it I decided for 30 days I would watch 30 animes, and it was all the movies that fell between the cracks. I thought I knew a lot of anime movies, and I realized that there was a lot of Ghibli, there was a lot of Makoto Shinkai, and other classics that I've never seen. So I had a 30 movie list. Basically, I went through the same process you did, and selected all the 30 top animes I haven't watched yet. I discovered a lot of good things.
And I crashed the party a couple times on those.
I wasn't a roommate, but I was watching them from home.
And
every day.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, she would tell me, like, oh, today we're watching this. I'm like, cool, I'll watch it after the gym.
How did you guys start watching anime?
A little bit of a long story, but I really like it. My dad used to work away during the week, and he would come back home on the weekends only. And at one point or another, I was at a house that had cable. We did not have cable. Tragic childhood. Mm-hmm. But I saw Sailor Moon, and I was like, what is this? This is fantastic. This is mind-blowing. And I was like, mama, papa, we must find an access to this. I was like 4. And my dad was like, well, back in the day, he would take a VHS, go to his work in another city, record all the episodes of the week, bring them home, give it to me on the weekend. I would watch it. Yeah. The Sunday, he'd take the tape back and record over the episodes. And he did that until he retired, essentially. And I still have those 4 last episodes on that one VHS.
Oh.
So that's how I fell in love with anime. And then one day I was like, there's more. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's like Card Capture. I still consider it anime, Avatar The Last Airbender, Sailor Moon films. And then I started to see, like, I was like, there's movies. They were like, yeah, we can start to, like, they found like Kiki at our local convenience store. Somehow they were renting that, like, few films. I was like, wow, now thinking of it. But that's how I slowly discovered anime. Right.
And you're a visual artist, so
yeah,
that must be part of the attraction.
I think so. And I think it was just it was different from everything I had seen before. Like, again, we didn't have cable, but we had a lot of Disney films. So it was very different from what I was used to. And it was, you know, a pretty girl with pretty powers. And I was like, this is cool. This is wonderful.
This is what I want to be when I grow up.
Kinda.
And sort of did.
Yeah, you achieved that.
Yay.
What about you, Shotgun?
So it came in 2 times. First is when I was like a younger child. We had a cottage by the sea, and we only had like a few channels on the cable. And I fell upon Card Captors. so in French. And I watched a few episodes, but because we were always on the sea or at the beach or whatever, I didn't really kept watching it. But one of my friends was really a big fan, so I kind of kept an eye on that. But when I grew up, I decided to push aside everything that I considered too childish. So I stopped anything that was, because I was a Pokemon fan, more of the game than of the TV show, but I stopped anything that had to do with Pokemon. I stopped watching Cardcaptors until I was alone one night at home and I was browsing TV, and we had this movie channel that just kept playing different movies, and I saw this synopsis for a movie I never saw and thought it was live action. And I'm not going to say what the movie is because it's going to spoil information further down this recording.
Right, it's something on this list.
Yes. So I watched it and it made me realize that animation was not for kids. Like, it could be for adults and it could be fantastic. I fell in love with that movie. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Uh-oh. Let's vote it down, Joseph. For me, it's like, well, I was a French-Canadian boy in the 70s and 80s. So, of course, Gundarak, Albatar, which people know as Grandizer. You know, like, the English names are completely different. And also, those shows aren't as popular as they were here.
Mm.
Captain Harlock and so on. So, but those shows were huge for French-Canadians.
Well, that reminds me, there's a few shows in French, Les Trois Mousquetaires, The Three Musketeers, and Les Cités d'Or, that are technically anime,
right,
that were on the French channel. So,
you're
like,
right,
even then,
right, the Golden Series,
animes, yeah, was a little bit introduced to us.
Different shows got translated in different countries and became popular in different countries. It just felt like, okay, this is a cartoon. We didn't necessarily make the difference, yeah, between American or Japanese, or, you know, they seemed like they came from France or something to us.
Yeah.
And in when I was in university, I tried to get into anime for real. There was a the Columbia Movie Club, like the book club, okay, the, oh, for movies. And that's how I got a lot of VHSs back then. And they had a sort of, now you can subscribe to this, the anime club, and we will send you a random tape every month, starting with Akira.
So the early,
they always start with a good one, and then you get a lot of shit.
So the early days of, like, Netflix.
Well, you bought it.
So, oh,
you had,
okay,
to pay for it.
Okay,
so, and after a while, I just stopped the membership because it's not good. A lot of really bad stuff.
One good for every, like, 10.
Right.
Bad.
Like, there are a couple in there that I still have them all, I think. I have maybe half a dozen or something, but there was only a couple of good ones, including Akira, of course, which is on this list, and others which are not. It didn't convince me.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I'm a late bloomer when it comes to anime. I don't know. There was just, like, the access wasn't there.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting the ones that I should have been watching. So before we get into it, of course, let's talk fashions because it's you guys.
We had to. I'll start first because I went less all out. I have my Totoro shirt. Totoro with, technically, at the stop sign with the two little characters next to him. It's cute.
It is really cute.
And a little bit embroidered. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then shotgun?
Yes.
So much.
So recently I bought these mom jeans from Hot Topic, which have embroidered Mononoke symbols all over it. It's gorgeous. I love it. And I didn't realize it was embroidered when I ordered them. They fit perfectly. I love them. I have a Spirited Away shirt with the little suit sprite and stars everywhere. I have, well, Gigi from Kiki Delivery Service pin. And all of my jewelries are Owl's Moving Castle. So I have earrings.
Pendant,
the
ring.
The pendant, the ring. And even my watch has Calcifer on it.
Okay. All out.
Mine did not participate.
I'm wearing a Godzilla shirt, which is adjacent.
I don't approve.
All right, well, before we get into the bracket, which you can find at fireandwaterpodcast.com or at Siskoy's blog of geekery, if you want to follow along, of course, I think it's important I explain how we arrived at these particular starting matchups. You might already be wondering where some of your favorite anime movies are. Choices had to be made. That wasn't easy for us either. So the first thing is that any movie that was a sequel, a compilation, or a reimagining of a television series was removed from the list. So no Cowboy Bebop, no Neon Genesis Evangelion. I'm sorry, but these had to go. We already had 32 movies to get familiar with. So, like, oh no, we kind of need to watch the series a little bit to get the context, to give it its fair shot. That's too much. Too much! Those that are here are ranked mostly according to the Ranker site. We just wanted an independent ranking by fans in this case, but we made sure that some well-known anime hits that did not make the top 32 on the site are still on the bracket, but they're still ranked according to the master list. And I say 32, but it was actually 26, because I wanted to keep a couple of open slots for each of us to put a favorite on there. Two favorites. Mm-hmm. So we each had two favorites to put in, and we're going to cry real tears because they're all against, like, giant films. Just to make it hurt more. It's not a real Siskoid bracket if people don't find it painful.
Excellent.
Especially in the first round.
What did I get myself into?
Yeah, so, and you guys pretty much agreed to the list right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my only concern with the list was that there were so many Ghibli movies, but I know that they're high ranked. It just makes sense.
There are even some Ghibli movies that aren't on there mm-hmm. that I was like, oh, it's kind of too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some I was like, I get why it's not on the list, but oh.
Yeah, we could have done a 64 easily.
Camp out, have a picnic while recording.
That's too much.
You know, have this in two sessions or six.
I've done 64.
What?
I've done 64s.
Oh my god.
It takes 4 hours.
Oh,
it
no.
It takes forever to edit. So keeping it down to 32, I'd like to have a life.
Hey, look, but if you like this, just harass Siskoid to do the next 32.
The next 32. Without further delay, it's time for round one. All right, so first up, and we'll just go as the list goes in order, if you're following along. And these are basically like, I mean, the first one is like top choice versus 32nd on the master list. And it's kind of built like that. And we start with Your Name versus Liz and the Bluebird. So Your Name is, this one's pretty famous. Mm-hmm. I just want to give a bit of synopsis maybe. It's about a country girl and a city boy who keep changing places or minds.
Body swap
across a distance and possibly time itself. It's a Makoto Shinkai classic masterpiece, some would say. Liz and the Bluebird is, well, also an intimate film. Mm-hmm. It's about an all-girls school music class. There's a thing where the flautist can't really sync up with her partner. Let's just say it's gay. So.
Gay-coded beyond belief.
Yeah, it's gay-coded, but it's about, you know, not knowing how far you can trust the other person, etc. It's a little drama by Naoko Yamada. So we do get some female directors in here, or yeah. We get her twice.
Oh, okay.
At least. So let's start with Josie.
Oh no, yeah.
What's your pick here between these two films?
Oh, it's Your Name. It's one of my favorite. Although Liz and the Bluebird was the first time I saw it, it was one that fell through the cracks a little bit. I did love the animation, the like watercolor, like that's something that I adored. But at the end of the day, Your Name, I remember seeing it for the first time, and literally, I was in my bed. I found it online, totally legally. and I remember just being like, what have I just seen? Like, what happened? Because, like, the first few minutes, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of silly. This is not too big. And then I was like, what happened? And I watched it again the same day, and I was like, I still don't know what's happening. So for me, it's still one of my favorite. The animation is out of this world, and I still think that it is Makoto Shinkai's best work. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a few other films that he's made since, they're very good, but this one for me is still like, he could retire if he wanted. Like, for me, it is so good.
Shotgun, do you agree with Josie and Rankers? Because they put that, I mean, that's the top vote getter. With that?
It's so good. Your Name is fantastic. The animation, and that's Shinkai's signature. Just the skies and the nature, the comet. The effect on the comet is so pretty. I want that on my skin. I want a tattoo of that comet on me somewhere.
And another thing that he does a lot is very still images, like nature, or just like he takes time to like look at this tree. Beautiful. Look at this other tree. So beautiful. And I love that it gives you time to, like,
process.
Breathe and process, yeah.
Because I've watched this movie, I think it was in the first time I watched it was in my project, my 30-day project. Knowing nothing about him, about Shinkai at all. And I just, like, where was that guy all my life? And also, it's one of the first movies I introduced to my boyfriend, which has seen most of the Ghibli, not all of them, but I wanted them to
see other things.
Yeah, because he watched anime shows and less movies. And I've never seen him cry as much as after watching this movie. It just hits you differently. And it's bittersweet, but it's, oh, it's so good. And it's stupid and we didn't do it because it would have just been a bit silly, but I really wanted to be in the steps when I went
to
Japan.
How could you not?
Oh, we just didn't have enough time, but I really wanted to see the step that he used at the end of the movie and be there when I was in Tokyo, but I didn't. Part of me kind of regrets, but also a part of me saying next time, because I will definitely go back to Japan.
Listen, the Bluebird was one of my...
Your add-ons.
My wild draws, yeah. My wild my wild picks. And I still feel it deserves to be on this list. Oh.
I loved it because, again, it was still one of my favorites. Because, again, the animation was beautiful. But one thing that I had a hard time with, which is very common in anime, is, like, do you know the concept of communication? And a lot of yes. them don't. And again, I love anime, but that trope is slowly but surely getting under my skin because I'm just like, oh, can you not just talk? But I get that that's the point of the story and to,
yeah,
they're struggling with their emotions and how to express and they're teenagers. I get it. But also I'm like, ah, Jess, open your mouth and talk.
it's really beautiful the way they did like the whole concept of letting go and letting yourself be free. People like held back for some reason or another. So just to, and the connection with the book as well. And that's actually a theme that came a few times in this list. Like the relation with the book of Liz and the Bluebird and the song. I really liked like that they were going back and forth from the story from at the music class perspective, but also
in the
story in the book.
Right. And how those two relate.
And I always feel like I'm very bad with foreshadowing. I will admit that when I watch movies or read books, I like that the letting go was not
what we thought
at the start. Like I didn't see it coming and I was like, of course, how did you miss it? I miss it every time. But I really like that it's not as
obvious
as I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a recommendation. Well, I think we can recommend all of these movies.
Oh, for sure.
Almost all of these movies, probably. But Your Name has to go forward.
Yeah.
That was an obvious one. Next up, The Boy and the Beast versus I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Classics.
quite the title. So Boy and the Beast is, there's a boy in modern day Japan. He crosses over into a magical world of beasts and becomes a wolfman's apprentice. He's not a very good apprentice, and the wolfman's not a very good teacher.
Is it a bear or a wolf?
I always thought it was like a hybrid of like a beast.
An animal man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always felt like it was like part of this animal, part of that animal, because like it's a spirit world-ish.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's like,
fair.
What is animals, whatever it is?
And I Want to Eat Your Pancreas is about about teenagers. There's a closed-off boy teenager. He gets drawn out of his shell by a girl who is dying from a pancreas...
Disease.
Undisclosed pancreatic disease. And they become, like, odd friends. Tragedy ensues. Yeah, so what do you think of these two movies, and which one are you picking to move forward, Josie?
I don't know if you've seen it. I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. It reminds me a lot of an anime of Your Lie in April. It has a very... It has a lot of the same theme, a lot of the same character growth. I really like that film. I'm a sucker for love stories. I've always am. So, like, if you introduce me an anime and you're like, oh, it has this, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And this, I'm like, oh, yeah. And you say,
it's
a love story. I'm like, oh, is it? I'm sold. Like, I'm a sucker for it. So, for me, right away, I love that movie. The Boy and the Beast, the best way I can describe it is I love the start. And halfway through, I read the manga first, and I remember reading it and being like, oh, what's this? Where is it going? I don't like it. It just kept kind of going down.
Okay.
And the movie's the same.
So your pick is Pancreas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shotgun, The Boy and the Beast is a movie you introduced to me, so...
Yes, so, and I'm the one who put it on the list as well, because it was one of my two picks.
Okay.
The Boy and the Beast, when I watched it the first time, I started the movie and the animation with the flames, it struck me so hard. Like, it's something I have never seen before. And I just, like, the movement and everything was so fluid. It was gorgeous. The story itself, we've all heard of it. Like, the kid who's rebellious and the father figures who doesn't want to...
Brat.
yeah, that's fair. And then there's the father parent figure who doesn't want to get involved with the kid, but at the end of the day, like, they become something together, and each of them grows because of the other.
We could say the same thing about Pancreas, which is, you know, like, the closed-off boy,
But it's a love story.
What people want to call better. The manic pixie girl type, the dying manic pixie girl. I mean, yes. These are stories that...
We've seen a lot. Yeah,
as a formula, we've seen a lot. Yes. It's mostly in the execution. So go on.
But something I liked specifically about The Boy and the Beast is how the boy is in this weird world. Everything is like limitless and he gets to get stronger and everything. But he still comes back to his former life and recognizes that there's values to it and becomes involved in it, refines some of his, like, finds some answers from his past. And again, as I said, parallels between books, his white whale.
The Moby Dick.
It's a Moby Dick.
There's a huge Moby Dick riff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That I completely forgot, but I rewatched it this morning, actually. And I completely forgotten about the Moby Dick riff. Reference. And it's just the imagery that comes with it is so gorgeous. But I agree with Jose that at that moment, I kind of lost interest in the plot. I was just looking at the pretty pictures.
Okay.
At the end of the day, between the two, Pancreas is still my choice.
Okay.
Because it's a very good story. It's cute, and the twist at the end, I didn't see coming at all.
The twist also got me the first time. I was like, whoa!
Even though it's a romance, it's slow burn, and it's never quite...
It's not consummated, no.
Yeah, so it doesn't get to become actual romance, but it's so sweet and so cute. And it's just nice to see that the boy at the end becomes more open to
it. It's one of the many romances that, where the meet-cute is kind of in the library. It happens a lot in this whole bracket.
It happens a lot. In Japan.
In Japan, I guess.
Everyone's in the library just being like, oh. Like, taking books and being like, oh.
Is this the right book I should take? Maybe I will meet someone.
Should I drop this book here?
You know, and here in Canada, people say, oh, you're going to meet your love in the grocery store. But in Japan, it's library.
I've seen a lot of criticism of Pancreas because it is tried and true formula type thing, or because they hate the characters. Because the boy is... kind of a jerk.
Oh, for sure.
And the girl is maybe a little annoying.
But it's true to life. Yeah, they're teenagers.
I was going to say, I think that's true to being a teenager. Like, I wasn't a bad teenager, but every once in a while my parents tell me story and I'm like, wow, what a bitch. And it's me.
And yet Ranker had it very high. So this was one of the ones I hadn't seen. And it is my vote as well. So we're all in complete agreement.
Bravo.
We're in complete agreement right now. Let's move on to the next matchup. It's actually a Isao Takahata face-off.
Oh.
It's his two. It's like his first Ghibli movie and his last Ghibli movie. Grave of the Fireflies versus Tale of Princess Kaguya. By the same director. Completely different films.
Jesus.
In tone, in look. Completely different. Grave of the Fireflies, of course, is about a boy and his sister surviving in after firebombings in World War II Japan. It's a horror show. And then Tale of Princess Kaguya is based on a folk tale about a princess from the heavens.
The moon.
There is a movie, a live action movie of this.
Yes.
Princess from the Moon. Very weird. It ends with flying saucers. Okay. Oh yeah. It's like an 80s Spielberg inspired Japanese movie. Oof. Worth watching, but it
nothing
doesn't,
to do with this.
No, it doesn't hold a flame to this. So it's about a princess from the moon, from the heavens, who is born in a bamboo shoot, eventually taken to the palace where she sort of starts to lose her flame. So yeah, go ahead, Jose. What's your pick?
As much as I understand that Grave of the Firefly is a great movie and a very important movie, my vote is for The Tales of Princess Kaguya. As an art major and having art background, the fact that it's all watercolor is mind-blowing to me, and how detailed it gets for certain scenes, and certain scenes it's very
minimalist,
aggressive, a lot of movement. I just love the simple story of like a little princess coming down to live the riches of the world, and when they try to pamper up or get her into princess and in a palace.
It's her life above.
Above. Like, she wants
it
to...
It kind of kills her soul.
Yeah, she wants to live the life of a simple human to nature. Like, those are the things that she doesn't have on the moon. I always connected to that movie somehow, the beauty of it. And there's one song that's on my playlist. The first few notes hits and I'm like, oh God, it's so sad. It's the one where she flies for like the last time with the name of the boy I can't remember, and just kills me every time.
Where are you on this shotgun?
Oh, this one is probably, I will say that now and I will probably repeat it. This is probably one of the worst matchups for me, because I agree that in an art perspective, Kaguya is out of this world. It's completely unique in this bracket. Yep. And I love, love, love that movie. Although I get really frustrated watching it, because the father, I know, does everything out of his heart to make her happy, but tabarnak, she's not.
He doesn't listen.
No, he doesn't. Well, he doesn't even look. Like, yeah. If he would just look at her, he would see how awful she feels and how sad she is. But as a history major, Grave of the Fireflies, for me, is so important because it reveals, like, there's so many movies that glorifies war and soldiers and how they're fighting for freedom and it's important and it's great and they're heroes. But the everyday people that suffered from war, that's not observed enough. And watching Grave, I watched it for the first time in my 30-day challenge and I cried my heart out. I watched it again. I told myself that I would never have to watch it again because it just fucked me over so bad. And then when we decided to do that, I was like, oh fuck, I'm gonna have to watch it again. But my boyfriend never saw it, so I was like, okay, this is the one movie in this 32 movie list that I want you to watch with me, because I apparently hate him.
Because no. He had a strong reaction to it, right?
Oh, yeah. He suffered. He really did suffer.
I don't think anyone can watch it and be like, yeah, I'm good.
Oh, no. He was like, when we watched Your Name, he was crying his heart out. But Grave, he was staring at the wall saying nothing. I think the first thing he said after watching the movie, what's the point?
Yeah. What's the purpose in a week?
Yeah, like, why anyway? So for me, Grave is so important that I have to vote for it. So it's going to be the first fight between us.
Well, I'm the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, for me, the Japanese war victim movie, the first one I saw, the one that touched me most, and is much more of a horror show than this,
yeah.
And maybe not as accomplished in terms of the art, is Barefoot Gen.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even talk about that movie. It's not on here, and not as well considered.
I never got the courage to watch it.
Oh.
Because I've heard so many stories about it.
But it's the same story.
Yeah, I know, but
and
a clock is haunting you.
The clock haunts you, yes.
Oh.
And it's about a boy with his kid brother, and this is like the kid's sister, and he's older. But it's a similar setup.
Yeah.
And it's Hiroshima, so it's obviously it's worse.
I find that this one, it's like a specific event. Compared to this, it's a...
It's just a war in general.
The slow, gradual, the aftermath a little bit of, like, even though it's over, because if I remember well, at the start of the movie, the war is over.
Yeah, they just lost all their homes.
Yeah, and literally it's just the slow, slow despair of everyone around, and how, even though it's over, the...
Yeah, the reason I like Barefoot Gen so much is because it shows you just like the happy life of these kids. They're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the worst happens. So Grave is always going to take a backseat to that. Barefoot Gen is not on this bracket.
Thank God.
I can't vote for Barefoot Gen. So I have to vote for Kaguya.
What? No, that's fine. When the brackets are tough, no matter which one continues, I will be happy with it.
The thing is, there's going to be a few tough ones, no matter where we go on this list.
Yeah, I mean, the more we advance, the more it's going to be difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually all your favorites are going to be head-to-head. To finish off this corner, we have Howl's Moving Castle versus Patima Inverted. Howl's Moving Castle is... I don't even know what it's about.
What?
I don't really know how
to... Well, it's based in a book.
Right.
It's a moving castle that's owned by Howl, that's a wizard, and a young hat maker, Sophie, and their fun adventures together.
You mean young 90-year-old?
She was young at the start.
It doesn't really have like a straightforward plot.
No.
So that's why I was like struggling with it. And then Patima Inverted is about a universe. Some people are standing upright and then some people are standing on the ceiling. And you're not sure which is the real world. And there's a romance.
Both have a romance.
Right. There's an impossible romance between someone who's feet on the ground and the other one who's feet on the ceiling. Anyway.
My pick. As much as I did add Panama Inverted to the list, I will still vote for Howl's Moving Castle. It's just a magical world. Like, for me, every time, it's one of the comfort movies I watch a lot. I just love the world. I love the characters. I love the music. Even though it is not very similar to the book. Yeah. I read the book and I remember being like, what's happening?
Yeah, I read all three and I was like, what the fuck?
What? I don't want to be too spoily about it, but I love the love story of how much he searches for her.
Yes.
Ah, it melts my heart. That he never gives up. She doesn't even look kind of the same. Mm-hmm. And he finds her anyways. And every time I watch it, I'm like, oh my God.
The first lines are like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just how much he cares. And for me, Panama Inverted, I love the visual of like the two worlds of how they like interact with the both worlds of what is right, what is down, etc. I like that it is a forbidden love, mm-hmm. a little bit. It reminds me a little bit of Makoto Shinkai's like style a little bit, like the lovers. And I like that he, as much as it's a cool world of two places, etc., I find that CGI is used very, what's the word I'm looking
for? Sparingly.
Sparingly, just at the right times. Because like in the world of CGI everything, and everything is in a green room and that. I like the 2D animation, but when it's used properly with the CGI, it's really nice. But at the end of the day, for me, Howl just is a few steps above.
And that's our first Miyazaki, right?
Is it?
Like, most of the Miyazakis are on here. So, Shotgun, are you also going Miyazaki, or did you discover Panama Inverted?
I own Panama Inverted, actually. I purchased it for the 30-day challenge because it was the only way I could actually watch it. I couldn't find any downloads of it, so I bought the Blu-ray, and I rewatched it this morning, so it's really, really fresh. Basically, I finished the movie 10 minutes before José picked me up.
Thank God I got there late.
one thing that really struck me while rewatching it is how the villain is very Count Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame coded. How he kind of, it feels like he wants Panama to be with him.
Yeah.
And it's really gross. Yeah. And I wanted to punch him several times.
I kind of forgot about that part.
Yeah. So I really like it. I like the visual and the feeling of just like, I don't have a fear of heights. But that movie gave me a fear of heights.
I wish I could have seen it in theaters.
Oh, it would have been amazing.
Amazing. Maybe I would have vomited. I don't know. But it would have been fun.
It is vertiginous.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think it would have been an experience.
But Howl's Moving Castle does something to me. I love this movie. I cosplayed as Sophie. I literally dyed my hair white just so I could cosplay Sophie at some point. The jewelries I have. And just the song, Merry-Go-Round of Life. It's so good. It's so gorgeous. Joey Seishi is a freaking genius, and I can't wait to see him live. Howl's Moving Castle, weirdly enough, is the only movie on that list that I cannot watch in Japanese.
The voice actors are
in English or on completely other level. Like, obviously, Christian Bale as Howl is great, but I can live with the Japanese version until we meet Calcifer. I need Billy Crystal.
That little spark.
Billy Crystal as Calcifer, yeah.
Is my favorite thing in the world. Hearing him like chew on the eggshells, rom nom nom, is always like, it makes me so happy.
When you said about the songs, it reminded me, for a long time, me and one of my partners in the past, when we would slightly talk about marriage, we would say, not the famous song, but the song at the end in the credits, we always said it would our dance song.
Hmm.
So every time I hear it, as much as for a long time it hurt my feelings because I was a petty little woman, now I love the song again and I can listen to it with a new perspective.
But yeah, I would love to be transported by a magician like Owl.
Takes me, hops on buildings, puts me down and is like, goodbye, lady.
No.
Swoosh!
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just, it's silly as well. The whole scene where he says that he cannot go on living if he can't be beautiful. Oh, come on, dude.
You're beautiful regardless of what you do.
So Howl's gonna move on. I think Panama Inverted, very cute. Yeah. The choreography is amazing. To figure out how this is gonna work physically is amazing. But it's the first movie that is going up against Miyazaki's imagination.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's going to be hard to beat throughout this. Next up, we're in the second block here. My Neighbor Totoro versus, this is a pick from Shotgun, Sword of the Stranger. Totoro is child moves to the country. Her imagination seems to make this rabbit-like creature, this really fat rabbit spirit appear, and she has adventures. You know, it's a bit of mundane, a bit of cat bus, you know, insanity. Again, this is a Miyazaki. It's a strong contender versus Sword of the Stranger, which is sort of a samurai martial arts epic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the stranger, the swordsman, helping a young aristocrat who's on the run, exiled, beat these cultists who are going to kill him and use his blood to make their emperor immortal. Okay.
Casual Friday.
Change it up a little bit. Jose, you're going to be the tiebreaker in this block.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. So Shotgun's going to start.
All right. I will never diminish the importance of Totoro in the Ghibli world, for Ghibli Studio as a whole. I mean, it's their logo.
It's their logo. It's their icon.
Everything. Yeah. It's a fun story. It's lighthearted. Obviously, there's all the parent sickness that is sad. But I never really connected with that movie. It's always...
There's a face. A face was made.
A face was very much made. And I knew this one.
A jaw drop. The first jaw drop of the day.
Like, I like it, but every time I watched it, I'm just like, it's nice, it's fun. And I watched it in theaters, and I own it and everything, but Sword of the Stranger blew my fucking mind. It's so good. The choreography is amazing. I just love the characters, and there's a good boy dog, I just love and love and love Sword of the Stranger. This is one of the movies I discovered in my 30-day marathon. It really, like, hit me like a ton of bricks, and I can't recommend this movie enough. So it's definitely Sword of the Stranger for me.
This was my first time seeing this one. My partner had. During the movie, I was like, if the dog dies, you must tell me now. Does he die? And he's like, I can't tell you. I'm like, I will punch you. I must know.
It was my first time as well. It's one of the three movies I hadn't seen before. I mean, I'm a big, big fan of Shambara films, yeah, of kung fu cinema. And this is using both. Mm-hmm. It's a Japanese versus Chinese.
We've never noticed.
Legend. And the action is quite worthy. I do think the music sounded a little too much like Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Which was distracting. I was like, so yeah, this is totally up my alley. Totoro, I understand what you're saying, how to relate to it. But it's got like this pastoral realism. A lot of Ghibli films are like this, where they'll do like the very mundane, mm-hmm, and then side to side with a fantasy element. Like, it's about finding the magical in the everyday. It is like a child's eye view of the world.
And dealing with the mother being not home and everything, yeah.
So hopefully, I seem ambivalent enough that Jose's really scared right now. But I am voting for Totoro. I think it is a more iconic film.
Yes.
Really enjoyed Sword of the Stranger, mm-hmm, but maybe because I saw it more recently, I have a stronger attachment to Totoro. So now it's a tiebreaker.
Again,
Sword of the Stranger. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
You surprised me.
Whoa. I did see it for the first time,
The Stranger of the Sword.
The Swan.
The Sword in the Stone. The Stone Sword.
The Sword of the... No, stop.
Sword of a Stranger.
The Sword of a Stranger. I saw it for the first time. I really enjoyed it. I was actually very surprised. Again, my partner was like, when we were doing the choices, he looked at it and he's like, why is this movie not on the list? I'm like, oh, well, maybe it will be added. He's like, it better be.
Okay.
So when it did get added, he's like, perfect, I want to watch this one with you. Again, freaking out with the dog. But for me, at the end of the day, My Neighbor Totoro reminds me a lot of just my life a little bit, of like, I live in the country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have a larger yard of like me and my sisters just exploring. We had a little maze that reminded me a lot of like their yard. So for me, that little bit of magic, that little bit of just being able to escape their reality, it touches me a lot, because like, without getting into details, like my dad did get sick when I was younger. So for me, I remember going into the yard and being able to just explore beyond my own. And a little bit, that's why I like anime so much. I can escape into anime. So for me, this movie, I find it always touches me because it reminds me of my childhood. And it's just so pretty.
All right, I'll pack my things. No, and you'll see, spoiler alert, I tend to love violent anime more, and that's a link with the way I got into the world of anime, because I thought it was for kids.
Yes.
And I wanted to discover what is not
the
kid
adult ones.
And
movie.
You will.
And I tend to notice my preferences fall within the violent movies because of that. And it's quite violent. There's a lot of blood in that movie.
Oh, no, it's violent. My own bias is it bizarre?
Okay.
I have a bias for the bizarre, for the image that I have not seen before. And I think that's what that's what sort of Stranger suffered from here, is that I know this genre so well.
Yeah.
It did not seem as bizarre as the CAD bus.
Yeah. Yes.
The iconic, somehow iconic, CAD bus.
Yeah.
That is bizarre.
Absolutely.
So that one, and not by a lot. Like both of these movies, I've rated exactly the same.
Oh.
So it is a toss up.
And I find it funny that completely opposite to you, me, it's like everyday movie with no villains and just like slice of life. I'm like, oh, love those.
Yeah, no.
Next up, Whisper of the Heart versus Five Centimeters per Second. So Whisper of the Heart is one of these library romances, because a girl discovers that all the books that she's taking out of the library were also taken out by this boy.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of stalks him. But also there's like a little fantasy element to it. And then 5 centimeters per Second is Shinkai, so the same director as Your Name. It's tone poem. It's about the distance between two lovers. And it's kind of told in stills and images and flashes.
Yeah, and it's a short one, too.
It's an hour. Just a bit over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Shotgun, what's your preference?
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is another hard one, because I think they're very similar in their style. And I know that 5 centimeters per Second is one of Josie's favorites, so I will let her discuss that later. and I rewatched it because it's probably the one, the Shinkai's movie I remembered less, because it's in three acts and I kind of get them mixed all together. And it's very bittersweet. Like, it's a very sad-ish story. It's not completely sad, but even the fact that the third act is just a song, basically, is just, oh, it got me all flustered and sad and all.
But
Whisper of the Heart is just so cute. And I really love how they find each other and how they stick to one another. I like that Whisper of the Heart led to a kind of sequel, not sequel.
The Cat Returns?
Yes.
The way I see it is that, well, The Cat Returns feels like the book that she was writing. Because this is really about her developing a passion for her art. It's a romance, but it's more than that. You know, it's about...
And the same goes for the male character as well, with the violin and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And am I mistaken? Is that the movie where they keep singing Country Roads?
Yes. Yes.
Country Roads.
Country Road in Japanese. It's
yeah,
so
Country
funny.
Road's in Japanese.
It's so fun.
Concrete roads. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's silly, but it's cute. And when we talked about slice of life, and I feel this one is one that anyone could relate to, because you have to pick your career at a young age and you know nothing about yourself. And I always complained about that. It's stupid. So to see like people struggling with what they want to do, what they really like, do they take their passion and push it to become a career or something? And I find the romance just so cute, so real. Ah, I love that movie. So for me, it's Whisper.
This is a tough one, I feel, but just because it is a maverick piece of work, I'm going to go with 5 centimeters per Second.
Mm-hmm.
It's so impressionistic. It's not about the plot. It's like moments, things that you might remember, which are just flashes, like for those characters. What do they remember? What did they notice? The camera's just going to look at things. And you were talking about that earlier, Jose, how this director does that using stills. And this is like the purest essence of that. No science fiction or fantasy element. It's just flash, 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 flash. I loved Whisper of the Heart as well, and for all the reasons you said. But if I have to pick a winner here, and I will reserve the right to change my opinion.
Okay.
But I'm going to say 5 centimeters per Second. Jose, your turn.
Okay. As Shotgun said, this is one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, by the way. I remember watching it, and this theme of, like, longing for someone and, like, misconnection has been something that has been always a trigger for me. I don't know why. And it reminds me a lot of a Korean movie that came out last year of Past Lives. That missing connection of, like, if things would have been different in another time, in another dimension, blah, 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 always hits hard for me. It's so pretty. Mm-hmm. And the song at the end, the first notes hit, and it's just a flood of emotion, and I get really sad and very depressed for the rest of the day.
Yeah, the song is very sad.
Yes.
But it's beautiful.
Oh, it is. Whisper of the Heart. This is a hard one for me as well, because as even an adult, I struggle to know what I want to do as a grown-up. Even though I have a job that I absolutely hate, because customer service is a level of hell that no one knows. So for me, like, Whisper of the Heart speaks to me also at a different level, that, like, I love both movies so much. And again, the love story is so cute, and how innocent it is, and how just, like, man, kids just love for love. It's so nice. But at the end of the day, for this one, I will have to go with 5 centimeters per second.
No, you know, unless what? I change my mind.
No, but honestly, I'm just happy that we're not totally always on the same page. Yeah. It's important for me that we have
some in another convention. Bracket, I'm sure Whisper of the Heart would have
could have gone further. Yes. Yeah.
But for this one, it is hard.
All right, let's. These are kind of similar in a way. Miyazaki, Ponyo. Hmm. It's an environmentally conscious retelling of The Little Mermaid. But without, the love is more like a friendship because they're so young. And the other one is The Cat Returns, which is the Whisper of the Heart.
Spiritual sequel,
yeah. Which really is a fantasy, completely insane fantasy. It's also a Ghibli movie. A girl saves a cat's life and is introduced to the secret kingdom of cats, where she's given the chance to marry the cat prince, well, against her will. So both of these are about someone entering, like, a different world. The fantasy world meets the real world in both cases. Shotgun? Your pick?
Jesus fucking Christ.
This is a tough one.
Absolutely, because, and you were mentioning how you want to see something different, and I feel like both movies offer us that.
it's just
that. Ponyo is like, it's basically The Little Mermaid on acid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so crazy, but it's so cute and it's so fun. Although I always had a hard time with Ponyo becoming human, because, I will spoil it, but because the kid will love her forever. Mm. And I'm like, they're like 5. This is kind of odd.
But it's a 5-year-old love. Yeah,
for me, it was always like, it wasn't love as in relationship.
No,
it was this is forever friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, that was
always... Yeah, you will always care. I think maybe it's lost in translation. Maybe that's what they want to make sure, that he will always care for her and not necessarily love her. I don't know, but...
There isn't just romantic love.
Exactly. Yeah. But like the imagery, the waves, I love the ocean, so Josie doesn't. So like
in this one, it's fine.
Yeah, and even like the creatures and like the way the little tugboat becomes big so that they can travel because the whole island is flooded, which is crazy. It's so fun and out of this world. The Cat Returns got me in basically almost at the start because of the silly tuxedo cats that are the security and just chuck other cats up.
The cat secret service. We watched this together.
We watched this together. I have a tuxedo cat and I couldn't imagine VTech doing that.
I have also a tuxedo cat, and every once in a while I'm like, at night, does he like toss the other two, like, get out of the way?
the imagery of cats walking on their hind legs, and the world, the cat kingdom basically is just magical, and the fact that Heron's becoming a cat as it goes is always it's really fun. I don't know if it says something about me, but the Baron is kind of hot.
Oh no, the Baron is he's a handsome man.
Cat. I don't know, there's something
just
there.
He's just so like a gentleman.
Yeah, he's a gentleman.
And he's so polite and so supportive and just such manners.
Yeah. Beautiful. So it's really hard because for me, they're really like similar while not being similar at all.
They both have like a girl transforming.
I feel they both give me the same happy vibes of like, they give me the same emotion while watching.
So what's your vote then?
I think I'm gonna have to go with The Cat Returns, just because it's the silliness really makes me happy. Ponyo, almost won, and that's because of the music. I think the music is fantastic. I love the theme song of Ponyo, but
Ponyo, Ponyo.
Cats.
I am also voting for The Cat Returns.
Who would have thought?
I'm a big cat person. I especially love it, and I've said this on other podcasts, when a cat is drawn well, like drawn like a real cat, has the body movement of a cat, whether it's animated or not, it's easy to screw up cats mm-hmm. and dogs, and yet we all have cats and dogs. We yeah. know how they move. We know what they look like. We know their shapes. Evolving them to, they're walking around on two legs, but also they're still cats.
They still have their mannerisms.
They still have the body language of cats. I thought this one was completely bonkers. And it's like, one is Alice in Wonderland, and then Ponyo is Little Mermaid. So they're both kind of these fairy tales readapted. So not to take anything away from Ponyo, which is extremely cute, extremely well made, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm still voting for Cat Returns. So you can change one of our minds. There's always a chance.
Okay. Ponyo, I saw it in theaters. Larger than life waves and just the way it's animated. The ocean, I was like, this is beautiful. Like, if this was the ocean, I would be in it all the time. It's not. It's awful. But it's beautiful. And I love the characters. And I know it sounds very strange, but the way the lighting is with the water, it's gorgeous. For me, I always interpreted it not as love, but as a friendship. Mm-hmm. This is maybe really random. In high school, we read a poem or short story about soulmates, and it just teaches you that soulmates can be love, friendship, or parents, or anyone that your soul...
Or body swaps.
Yeah. Anyone. It's anyone that your soul resonates with, so it can be anyone. So for me, it was always a story. However, I am also voting for The Cat's Return, because cats, and it's just absolutely silly. And one of my favorite Disney is Alice in Wonderland, and I find it has a very similar, like... You get into another world, and it's just...
There's body transformations. Yeah. It's also in Alice, yeah.
And also, like, I'm a sucker for love stories, and I like that there's a little love story hidden in there with cats.
Cats!
Cats.
Some things I forget to mention about Ponyo is how much I love the mom character.
The mom's great.
She's kick-ass. She's amazing.
It's so random, but one of my favorite parts that I like to share with people, I'm like... They use Morse code to communicate, and it's always one of my favorite part of the mom.
Oh,
I'm like, do you
remember
the dad?
Do you remember how the one of the ways they sell the movie in America and in Canada was with the voice actors for the English dub, and there was Matt Damon,
yes.
and he has two lines because he's the father.
Yes, and one of the worst lines in my mind of like, that kid looks like my child's age, and he goes away. It's the worst line. Stupid.
All right, let's finish up this block, the left hand side of our bracket. This matchup has Miyazaki's Princess Mononoke, which is another of his environmental classics, and Tokyo Godfathers by Satoshi Kon. That one is maybe less well-known than Mononoke, but it is a Christmas story, so I think people may have watched it around Christmas. It's more well-known than I would have thought. Three homeless people find a baby in the trash during the holiday season in Tokyo. It kind of changes their lives. There's a Christmas miracle in the offing. This is another one of your marathon ones that I watched with you. And of course, Princess Mononoke. That was one of my tapes that I got from the movie club.
Oh, okay. So that's Akira and Mononoke were the only two
ones. Miracle Again.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, so, makes sense.
So what do you think, Shotgun?
Who could possibly...
Who could it possibly... Which one...
Which one do I have tattooed on my skin? And
that's true.
So I will get this out of the way right now. I'm voting Mononoke. Okay. I cannot...
That's the movie you were talking about.
Yes, it is my favorite movie of all time. It's the one that got me reinvested in anime. Again, probably because of the violence. Because I remember I start the movie... And I'm like, oh, it's cartoon. And I was about to change the channel, and he shoots an arrow and decapitates the man. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Yes!
What just happened?
Woo! So, and I've watched it every time it was on, and I saw it was on, I watched it. My parents were really going crazy with that movie. They didn't like it, I think. But they saw it so often because of me. So I'll talk more about Tokyo Godfathers, because if it wouldn't have been on the list, I think I would have put it. I really like it. I think it's a very fun yet sad story. It keeps giving you new twists, and you get to learn more about each and every character and why they're homeless and why they do what they do the way they do it. I like that there's a bit of representation as well, because there's a queer character in the bunch.
Right, there's a trans woman as part of the
yes
trio. Yeah.
And I know that... one of the characters is really harsh with his wording when he addresses her. But I think it's very true to the character as well, and the time period and where they live. I mean, they're homeless. They're not necessarily good people.
Yeah.
So I even though they're using terminology that is very... I think it's
a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even I watched it with my partner like a few Christmases ago, and he was like, whoa. And I was like, it was at the time, and it's maybe just like the environment they're in. And he's like, true, but whoa.
Mm-hmm. It's not gratuity. It's not like pitched there and there's no reason for it. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense with the character growth.
Right. It's got some, I think the strength of this one, of Tokyo Godfathers, is the characters.
Yeah, for sure.
And the acting. In the voice and then the art are especially strong. It's got a perfect ending,
mm-hmm.
which I will not spoil. A bit of Dickens. I mean, there's a lot of coincidence because it's a Christmas miracle thing. I feel it's a little bit Dickens. And then Princess Mononoke, right? So, I mean, I will say only this. I think it's Miyazaki's most relevant and enduring work. He's got a lot of great films, perhaps some that we love more. I mean, not you, Chaga.
Not me.
But perhaps some that we love more, José and I, maybe. But I feel like if civilization collapses and they say, well, you can only save one movie from any director, I think this is the one that you would save for Miyazaki as the most relevant and enduring and loved by the most people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to vote Mononoke as well. Would that have been your choice as well, José?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's fine.
Oh, that's right. When it's violent, you don't like it so much.
Me, it's... Okay. This is my partner's favorite of the Miyazaki. So I watch it...
So obviously, wrong.
No. No. That's the way he thinks.
Okay.
He does not agree with my choice. But I will always say, the way I see the movie, it is very important. It is very relevant. It is something that we need to watch and like learn from it. The importance of the movie as a movie, as his career, as a message is very important and it's beautiful. However, for me, it comes a little bit to the violence and just one of the characters is very annoying. But I will always admit that I know this is a great movie. I know it's one of the greatest of the director. Is it my favorite? No.
Are you talking about The Monk?
No, I'm talking about Princess Mononoke.
Oh, okay. She's been raised by wolves, but
yes,
okay.
Raised by wolves.
I get it. I get why she's like that, but at the same time, every once in a while, I'm like, okay, whoa. So for me, I know it's an important film. Is it my favorite? No, but I will still tell people to watch it regardless. But for me, again, slice of life, Tokyo Godfather, I like that it's not simple, but it is just what can happen in their lives. I love the ending.
It's fun how crazy it gets.
Yeah. Like, my partner watched it for the first time a few Christmases ago, and at one point he's like, what is happening? Why are they... What? How did they get here? Why is there boobs? But I would still vote Tokyo Godfathers, but I still recognize that Princess Mononoke is so important.
And it moves on.
Yeah.
So we'll get to talk about it again.
Yeah.
We move to the right of the bracket.
Woo!
Let's change things up again. Shotgun, you're going to be the...
Tiebreaker?
We're talking about Spirited Away versus Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. So those are both Miyazaki films. Spirited Away is the one that got an Oscar. It's the one where suddenly the U.S. or the
world,
the Academy and the discovered anime. And then Nausicaa is one of his first, really. I think it's his first hit.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty early. 1984. And it's another one of these ecological fables, which was pretty much what he was... He's always had that vibe, but originally there's a lot of movies like this. A community under threat in the post-apocalyptic world. A lot of flying around. You know, all the Miyazaki tropes are actually in Nausicaa. So to go first, I think Spirited Away is incredibly imaginative. I'm happy that it won an Oscar and that like people started to recognize anime. And I personally started... This is probably like the first anime I bought on DVD.
Oh.
Because now we're like recognizing that anime can be like great films and not so niche, and now there's access. It means like a lot of this anime is actually coming to, in our case, Canada. So it has like an importance. Recently we went to see
the play.
The stage play version, live action stage play version at the theaters, which obviously isn't as strong. So a lot of affection for this one. Nausicaa, I think, has a stronger story. I feel like Spirited Away is often, she walks into the spirit world. Weird stuff happens.
You love weird stuff.
I love weird stuff. Sometimes I like it to be connected to something.
Okay.
And it feels more like she's discovering this crazy world. which has a logic of its own, but a logic I can't always grasp. There's this oddity. Okay. So my vote is actually for Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. It's more primitive in terms of animation, but it's still gorgeous. It's uplifting. It also feels like a lot of these movies, especially these early ones, are still in the shadow of Hiroshima and World War II. We're after something, and the something destroyed everything. Yep. The pollution and the radiation. There is that connection to some of the early animes that I watched. My vote is Nausicaä. Josie.
I will go opposite to you.
Go.
And I love the strange world that doesn't always have a story or a connection. I like that it's just like she gets thrown into that world. She does not know what's happening and she's just trying to get through it. I can say it about almost any anime. I love the animation. I love how it's done, how the colors are. I cosplayed as one of the characters. Sure. I was No Face. It was, and I still have that costume somewhere deep into
the costume slash exoskeleton. I mean, it's, you're inside some sort of box.
Yeah. I used a welding helmet to like get the volume on top of my head. Mm. But I'm a sucker for like the simple stories. It is just a girl getting into a world. It's not a slice of life because she gets into a very spirited world that's wild and crazy. But I like that it's just the adventure of one person going through it. And again, does it always make sense? No, but I'm cool with it. Mm-hmm. Compared to Nausicaä, violence. Like, I don't know why. And I think that's a reason why I don't like a lot of live action. If there's violence or it's too mean-spirited, like, part of me is like, I don't want that. Like, that's what I live every day. So I want that escape of a world that is way better and, like, magical. My vote will be for Spirited Away.
This isn't the first time we've had, like, magic versus sci-fi, but this is an example. Mm-hmm. Two Miyazaki films.
This is going to be complicated and hard.
You get the tie break.
Yeah, so for Nausicaä, when I was a kid, I always was passionate about history and discovering the world and all of that, probably due to my father traveling the world for work. Before wanting to become a teacher, at first I really wanted to be an astronaut, but that's another story. But after that, I wanted to be an archaeologist. So to discover those lost civilizations, to explore, to get those things out of the ground and to learn from them. So for me, Nausicaä, when she goes underground and finds the pieces like the exoskeleton from the bugs and all of that, bringing back the material to be turned into energy, resource, anything. Like, that really, like, hit me. I liked it. Overall, the feeling of being able to fly, because I'm a freaking flyer. I love the idea of the freedom that comes with being able to fly. If I could have a superpower, I would be flying everywhere. Now, Spirited Away is just such a classic. I agree that there's not really, like, a linear story that goes from start to end. Even like the one of my favorite scenes is when they're in the train and how the train is like the rails are covered in water. Just the aesthetic, the artistry of it is gorgeous, and yet they're just sitting on a train.
Yeah.
And facing the same direction, not interacting at all. I feel that movie is very grotesque. And also, like, the creatures are gross.
Yeah.
It's weird. And even what happened to her parents, turned into pigs, like, all of that, it's very sad. Haku is gorgeous, the dragon.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. All that being said, this is going to upset a lot of people, but I'm going to have to go with Nausicaä.
I'm surprised.
Me too.
But
honestly,
I will call this the first upset.
Yeah, no, that's an upset for, like, I'm sure people expect Spirited Away to go to the end or
to win.
Yeah, but I don't know. And I don't want to just say that Spirited Away is overrated, because it's not. It's not overrated. It is a great movie. But I don't know. There, and even though there's a lot of things that you remember and that will stick with you, like No Face is a very well-known character, and right, the suit sprite that I'm wearing right now are very, very familiar. I still love other works from Miyazaki way more. Nausicaä.
I think it's the same as Princess Mononoke. It's, mm-hmm, I know it's a film that has such importance culture-wise. I will never uncredit it for what it has done. Is it one of my favorite? No. That's always the way I explain that film for other people. It's important. Is it my importance? No.
Two Ghibli films next. Only one of them is Miyazaki. So the first one, not Miyazaki, is The Secret World of Arrietty, which is about a family of tiny, tiny people who have this whole universe, which is just a house, a cottage, and like the garden, and they live at this miniature size. And there's, a romance between the tiny little girl and the normal-sized boy that lives in the house. The other one is The Wind Rises. And this was Miyazaki's last film, farewell film, before he came back 10 years later to do The Boy and the Heron. Mm-hmm. So
his pre-retirement. Fake retirement.
First retirement. His first retirement film. And it's essentially a biopic about the engineer who built the Zero planes that were used in World War II. But it's really about the obsession with flight. And so it's very close to his interest. If I'm going first, I'm going to be voting down The Wind Rises. Mm. And I'll tell you what. Obviously, it's gorgeous. All of his films. But first of all, I don't like biopics. The biopic is one of the genres, the subgenres that I like the least. That's one. Second is I feel it never gets into the ethics of this. I understand that behind the story, it's the story of creating the perfect anime. It's about your own personal art or whatever it is. And he's using this engineer who wants to create the perfect plane as a metaphor for, I want to create the perfect anime. It's not the only time he does this in his work, but there's no ethical element. He's building weapons of war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, you do see them in flight as military hardware, but there's never a question. There's never a toll. There's never a, for the character of the engineer, like it doesn't seem to register.
No, I think the most they mention about it is how the weight of the guns takes them away from building a fast plane.
That's really annoying that there's a war on because I gotta adapt my planes. But I feel like it never really touches on that. But it's,
for me, he's always too narrow-sighted. Is that the expression I'm looking for?
Sure, yes.
And like, I get that like, all he wants to do is his passion, but like, at what cost? Like, what is this passion costing in the long run?
And the film never really gets into that.
And I think...
I find it troubling.
I think it would have been so interesting to see that part of the film, of that struggle of like, I am creating what I love and what I'm passionate about, but at what cost?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like for me, like not to that point, but like if my art, I was making propaganda, like at what cost am I wanting to put my art into something so bad? Mm-hmm. So for me, like that, when I saw the film, that was always the part I was like, I want to see that. I want to see that exploration, and they never did.
No. And on the other hand, The Secret Life of Arrietty may be my favorite thing on here.
I was going to say, you're on the record saying that it's your favorite Ghibli.
Yeah.
Am I?
Yes.
I feel we saw it together, like not
in theaters. I saw it in theaters.
I thought it was just at your house. But
no.
I remember you coming out and being like, wow.
I just love that world. Like, you could have said there's no plot. And it's just them and seeing how they're, you know, how they're using nails on the wall and found objects to make furniture. I could have lived in that universe without a plot.
Yeah.
I just love the hell out of this. So it's getting my vote. Arrietty for me. Josie?
Well, to expand on the Wind Rises, how what I wanted to see was never addressed. Like, it's still, again, like I said to almost everything, it is a beautiful film visually, like the planes and the way they fly, it's beautiful. And I know Miyazaki has a love for planes, so they're quite often in there. And also, like, again, sucker for a love story. But Arrietty, how they live their life, the cube of sugar, that's like, for years to come, they can use the sugar for a year. It's wild. And like how they use everything and just how resourceful they are. I loved, like, if we would have never gone to like regular sized human stories, I would have been fine.
Yeah.
But to come back to, like you said, maybe a love story, for me, it was the same as Ponyo, where it was just a friendship that they both had different experiences, but both had the same problem a little bit. And never watch it in English. It's awful.
They put a button on it with narration.
Yeah.
The surplus to requirements.
Yeah, I find the Japanese version way better.
It's funny though, because I rewatched it for this exercise, and I watched it on Netflix, and they removed that.
They did?
They did. So I wanted to remember what they said, the voiceover at the end.
So now it's safe to watch it in English.
I guess. I don't know how bad the rest of it is, but at the end, it was just a song. There was no voiceover telling us what happened next.
You're right. Yeah.
that I hate.
Which wasn't in the original film. So, your vote is Arrietty, then? Yeah.
And the music is really beautiful. Like, there's a song, at, like, at the start that I like to think if I was a woman living in a cottage, this would be my theme song. Like, I wish it would be. And again, I like the everyday life. He moves into a, like, countryside. Like, that's the life I want to live.
So Arrietty is...
Yes, okay. Arrietty for me as well.
Shotgun, Arrietty seems to be moving on, unless you have arguments to the contrary.
I don't. The Wind Rises is a good movie, and I will be honest, because I think I saw it in theaters. Or, no, it never came in. I was upset about it, because I was like, it's the last Miyazaki, and I'm not going to see it in here. I think I'm kind of happy that didn't happen, because I...
You might have been disappointed?
Yes. I feel like that was to be his last. And I understand what you meant with the connection with creating the best anime, the best movie, whatever, like doing the best on your craft, that link. It was lacking to me. It was not what I was expecting from him. I loved the romance. Like, when they get married, I cry every time. It's so sad, but it's so beautiful. And when she leaves... But another thing... It's never addressed when he comes back and he learns that she's not coming back.
Yeah.
There's not that moment where he realizes that she's gone and she will die away from him. So it's like, then what's the point at this point? You could have just stopped everything about her. We don't see her again and it would have seemed the same.
Like, for me, it was like he was so absorbed with his craft.
Mm-hmm.
Like that... Even though he loved her, he didn't love her as much. That crushed me. I was like, sir, get your priorities straightened out. That is ridiculous.
And if anything, we'll see it later on in the list, but as an aviation movie, I prefer Porco Rosso by far.
We gotta love a pig.
But yeah, I love Arrietty. It's always fun to me when the whole movie can happen in such a small space. And for us, it's a small space, a house. For them, the borrowers, it's so big and vast and incredibly dangerous, like, yet beautiful.
Like that scene where she comes out of the wall and it zooms out to the whole room. You're like, oh, you're so small.
Yes. Yes, it put things in perspective. And it's a bit like Petema. Petema is where you like feel vertigo for them, even though it's really mundane. It's just a pantry or kitchen or whatever.
Right.
The dollhouse the former owner created for them. It's so sad to me that they never get to live in it.
Because that was the purpose, but they're like, no, we can't. Like, they'll know we're here. That's so sad.
And maybe it would have been better if they would have been more open. But how can that connection and that conversation can happen without those two main characters? Good cat action.
Good cat action. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just a good movie.
Arrietty moves on. Next up, Castle in the Sky. It's an early Miyazaki. And Ghost in the Shell, a 90s cyberpunk classic. Castle in the Sky is not Howl's Moving Castle, so that's the first thing I have to remind myself. It's about a floating island, different people trying to get to it. It's sort of an Atlantis.
Like a lost civilization.
Yeah, an Atlantis in the sky. And you got sky pirates and, you know, like the lost heiress and the boy who wants to help her. And they're all going towards this. It's about being in the air and flying. And Ghost in the Shell is a cyberpunk, very existential. So it's about an assassin who has a full body prosthetic. Basically, she gets uploaded into this body to do her missions. But she also feels, like, disconnected from her humanity, which is part of the cyberpunk genre. I hate to vote down one of the, quote-unquote, boys' movies in here. But I will. I think The Ghost in the Shell is overrated.
Strong words.
I think it's overrated. I think it's... Like, when it goes into the angst, you need to have that in cyberpunk. I completely agree. But when you go into the angst and the existentialism and am I still a person, they do it with long, boring speeches.
Mm-hmm.
It's info dumps. It's not even done in speech. It's done in text. It's like I feel like somebody's reading to me. And yes, you get some good action and good violence and a strong science fiction concept. But hell, I mean, it seems like the movie just stops. So we can say that this is the point. I hate that. I felt like I was being talked down to. I'm not saying that Castle in the Sky is perfect, because one of the things I dislike about it is that the island is called Laputa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the island in... It's one of Gulliver's Travels.
Okay.
It means the whore, which does not fit this concept at all in this movie. It's an island full of scientists who don't know what they're talking about. It's like lampooning the scientists of the 18th century in Gulliver's Travels. So, like, using that as the basis, I don't... That doesn't connect for me. However, the rest of it, the adventure, the high-flying action, the characters, that all sings. So I'm calling this my particular pick, Castle in the Sky, for me. Jose?
For me, the violence is never my... I know, I'll say I'm a broken record. I'll say it a bunch of times. But also, to your point, I feel this movie, I'm getting mansplained something. Mm-hmm. And for me, again, I'm disconnecting.
Punksplained.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of cyberpunk. I find it too much. My eyes are like, what's happening? I watched it again. And a little bit like the other ones, I will respect what it brought to the table. I still think it is quite awful.
It's just... not awful.
Not overrated. Awful.
No, it's just, it does not connect. Like, I don't connect to it. I don't enjoy watching it. Like, sure, the animation is nice, but somewhere in there, at the end of the day, I feel like someone's talking down to me, like you said, or like someone's like, did you know this is it? And I'm like, it just does not resonate with me. And again, like you said, is Castle in the Sky a perfect film? No. I know there's still violence,
but... It's
kids-friendly. There's something silly about it. The pirates are absolutely ridiculous. But I love the lost civilization aspect of it, of like, there's a world out of reach that's just traveling around the world. I find that wild. And again, I love the friendship between the two characters. And maybe not a popular opinion, as much as I love all the soundtrack of all the movies, I think this one has the best one. Hmm. There's something about it, like, is it my favorite film in Miyazaki or Ghibli? Not really, but the songs and the soundtrack, I think it's one of the best, in my opinion.
All right, Shotgun. The choice is made.
Yeah.
But what would have been yours?
The second upset of this...
I figured, it's still a Miyazaki.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, Ghost in the Shell was the only movie on that list that I hadn't watched before we did the list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I do remember having it on my 30-day challenge, but I think I could not find it at that time, and that's why I didn't watch it. It got pushed. I just traded it for, I think it was the Red Turtle.
Playing at the...
At the theater, yeah.
Excellent choice, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, sure. So I watched it for the first time about, I think, a week ago. And I'm a fan of cyberpunk.
Right.
And
you play cyberpunk 2077. Okay. To me, it's still cyberpunk 2020 because I'm old.
So I played that game a lot.
And the game spawned a pretty cool animated series.
Yes. The show was amazing.
It was pretty cool.
So I'm a big fan of that genre. And I do... connect a whole lot to not fitting in for some reason, like this whole disconnect from what you are and where you're at and what's your purpose. I don't know why I just connect with it in the movies. I do think they over-explain it in text instead of showing us. Like, yeah. We have this expression in improvisation where they I don't say it, show it.
Yeah.
And I feel like this movie definitely suffers.
Said it.
Yes, they think, say it a lot.
I think it's the same as like in movies where you could just do the scene silent and it would work, and then they narrate it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what have you done? You ruined it.
So yeah, but I think the animation is fantastic. I think the action is very great. Lots of nudeness, which is something that I...
Right.
I
nude assassin, why not?
Yeah, you know.
If you're made of metal.
I mean, you're nude, so people like, and then you shoot them. Perfect. Right. 10 out of 10. No, so...
it's a strategy.
Like, I knew. yeah, it's a strategy. I knew there would be, like, a nudity in that movie. I didn't know it was to that point. I don't hate it. I didn't feel it was... out of this place. I just feel like even like the hacker or whatever, the bad guy, even after watching and being over-explained what his intention and purpose was, I still feel like, okay, but then what? So
like you're over-explaining certain things and not enough other things.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I don't hate it, but I will have to go with you on Castle in the Sky. The pirate gang is so delightful. Yeah. I love them so much. The guardian statue, they're cool, they're awesome, and they have, in that movie, the little cat-like creature that they also have in Nausicaa that I love. Mm. Obviously, Castle in the Sky, you say that you sometimes... Confuse Castle in the Sky with Owl. I confuse it with Nausicaa all the time.
Okay, yeah.
Because of Laputa, Nausicaa, I don't know. But
something about the plot.
So anyway, I love that. And the glyph that can open the places up and all of that. I want that somewhere on my body.
All right, Castle moves on. Last up in our block, which is in the upper right-hand corner, Kiki's Delivery Service, a beloved Miyazaki. Versus, again, another Miyazaki, Porco Rosso, which you just mentioned. So Kiki's Delivery Service about a young witch who moves into town, starts a business, a delivery business, using her flying broom. Porco Rosso, it's never explained why he's a pig, but he's an Italian aviation ace from the First World War. So post-war, he's doing jobs, also sort of delivery. So it's like a World War I adventure where the main character is a pig man.
They mentioned a curse, but
there's a curse. Yeah, we don't really know, and it's not important. Mm-hmm. It's not important. So in this case, it's not a tough one because I think Kiki's Delivery Service is such a beloved film. Porco Rosso, though, I do feel is the most underrated Miyazaki.
Agreed.
It's fun. It's funny. It's touching. It says something about veterans. It's got its flights of fancy. It's a fully realized world, but somehow it's the forgotten one. It's a fun romantic romp. No?
No, I just like how you describe it, and I agree.
And then Kiki, well, again, strong cat action.
Oh, yes.
Gigi is an instant favorite, I think. It's a film without any real villains. It's upbeat. You know, she loses her powers at some point. That's the big dilemma. Moving away from her folks, the loneliness that comes with that, moving out of town. So there's something relatable to it as well. And, of course, the animation, the physics of flying. It's Kiki for me. Jose?
This is my favorite Miyazaki film, but one of my favorite animes. And it is Kiki. It's one that I saw a few times as a kid, but I think it's a little bit like you. In high school, I was too cool to admit I watched anime and did weird stuff because, you know, you need to be cool. And I watched this, I would say, in my university years. And it moved me to another level. And I know this is not the message that it was. I think it's my own interpretation. This is a very child-friendly way to introduce depression or, like, to explain it. So for me, when I saw it in my 20s, I was like, this is so good and so beautiful that, like, she gets separated from her family, isolation, burnout, expectation of herself, etc., etc., how you can get into a depression and what she does a little bit to, like, regain a little bit more control. And that little part with Ursula in the woods about how to be an artist. Mm-hmm. Every time she talks, like when we went to see it in the movies, I was sitting next to Mike crying and I was like, don't make noise. Mike doesn't like when we make noise in the theater. And I was just crying and just like, oh God, be quiet. So for me, it is one of my favorites. There are some days I'll watch it and just like be happy and smile. And some days if it hits differently, I'll be very sad and cry and want to go hug my dad. Always fun. Cats. Love it. And it is a cosplay I want to do one day of Kiki and like her friends, etc. So, and oh yeah, I need to talk about the other film. Sorry about that.
Why aren't you voting for Porco Rosso? I guess is the question.
It's hard when you're putting it against your favorite film. It is a beautiful film. I love the animation. I love, both are great with the flight. And like she said, I think it is a better film with the aviation. And I love that it is about war, but it is not in war. It's about like the aftermath a little bit. Like, again, he's a veteran and like what he does afterwards and how he survives. I love it. But when you put it against what I think is, again, is it the best Miyazaki film? No, it is my personal favorite. It's hard to beat it.
The shotgun, what was your opinion?
I still want to hear you.
Yeah, I would have still voted for Kiki. So I think it does it better for me. But I'll stay brief on Kiki because I may speak more
about it again. Yeah.
Again, as Jose said, I think it's a great representation of how your own self-worth can impact your ability to do like something that should be easy.
Yeah.
And imposter syndrome and all that. That's what I see when I watch that. And the moment that hits me the most is when she cannot talk to Gigi anymore.
Yeah.
Every time it's just like, ugh, I'll keep the rest for later. Porcoroso, I really love that movie. I'm totally with Mike on that. It is underrated.
It should not be underrated.
Oh, no. It's so fun. And another thing I love is the strong female characters, like even like the singer and how she's like, fuck you, American man. I don't care about you. I love a pork.
Theo.
Yeah, and the girl that creates the new plane and everything. All that. I think it's in Milan where they build a plane.
Yeah, it's Milan,
like,
yeah.
This whole family that lives there that works together to build a new plane. I just love them so much. They're so like... And the way they like pretend like they were helping because he was threatening them just not to get in trouble. I love this movie. And even like the ending, like the fight with the American, I just find it so funny the way it resolved. It's a feel-good movie for me, and I don't watch it enough. Like, I've watched it in my 30-day thing. I watched it another time after that, and then I watched it again for this bracket fight. And every time I watch it, I think it's delightful.
Yeah, honestly, this is one that I reach for regularly on my, like... Like, again, it goes over, like, the violent ones, because it is such a... Even the fights, they're fighting, but, like, silly as hell.
Yeah.
All right. One last block. Four more matchups. Wolf Children versus Paprika.
Paprika.
Paprika, but they say Paprika. They say Paprika. Wolf Children is about a girl meets a werewolf. There are people who are also wolves. She meets... A wolf boy.
A wolf man.
He shows...
Age-appropriate.
And they have children together. He dies. And she has to raise those kids alone in the Totoro house. Really very much is. And then for the... what is the other one?
Paprika,
which is sort of inspiration for Inception or for... If the cell was good. So they found a way to navigate the dreams of a person. It's like a sci-fi system to get into people's dreams. And then it goes really weird. Shotgun, you start. What is your pick between these two?
So Paprika, I've watched in my 30-day challenge and I hadn't watched since. And I rewatched yesterday. And I remember nothing of that movie. And I think that speaks a lot to it because it's insane. It really is crazy. It goes in places you don't expect. But I don't know if it was because I was not paying attention enough when I watched it the first time. I realized that I remember nothing about it. So it didn't leave quite a good impression on me the first time I watched it. The second time, I enjoyed it. I feel like I connected with some of the characters, especially the big nerd guy. I think it was really funny and I could kind of relate to his bad eating habits. And and just in general, being too much of a nerd in one aspect and hyper-focusing on that thing. But Wolf Children, I cry every time I watch that movie. And I know it's coming from a girl who says she's afraid of wolf, but yet her favorite movie is Princess Mononoke. And, and like, it didn't connect like that before because it was not the case. But rewatching it now that my sister is a single mom, it destroyed me. It's hard enough having to raise children on your own. But when you also have to deal with something as unnatural, like having them turning into wolves randomly and trying to explore that part of their... Like, I feel maybe it's a bit like a mixed heritage that you would see in a normal day-to-day life where one of the partners would die. So how, as someone that's not connected to that other part of their heritage, how can they be brought up to respect and value that part of themselves as well? So I don't know. That movie is so good, so beautiful, but so sad. I have to go with Wolf Children.
Josie?
I would have to go with Wolf Children again. And honestly, you said it so well of like, for me, like when the wolf passes away, it is so heartbreaking and how she is so young and like the challenges she has to face, how to honor that part in a world that's maybe not accepting. Like I'll always remember like the part where they're like, we're not allowed to have dogs. Why do you have dogs? And she's like, I don't have a dog. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what can she do to be able to do that? And when she moves away to the country, I love how without showing exactly what the kids are and what their situation is, the village raises those kids in a way and how they come together to help this woman. And like, she never asks for help and they're just so willing to give help and how loving they are of her. And I also love without spoiling anything, the switch a little bit of certain characters' wants and needs in life. I thought that was very well done and very interesting. And now for Paprika. I love this movie. I know it's very futuristic and very fucked up, but there's something about it, about like going into dreams, that's very fascinating to me and very interesting. And it has a great song that I love. But somewhere in there, I get back to the everyday life struggles that even if he's a wolf, this is something, take the wolf away, it's still a part of life that we can struggle with and can relate to. So my vote will be for Wolf Children as well.
Wolf Children will move on, and it would have been my vote as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the animation in Paprika is just wild. Mm-hmm. The things, because we're in a dream world, and there's a plot. There's like a terror plot. Terrorists invade dreams, and yeah. You know, this has to be solved. So it's crazy. It's completely crazy. But yeah, Wolf Children is just more touching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny as well. You know, there's a lot of humor in your kids turning into puppies
and
doing things.
It's humor that even though you don't have wolf puppies for real, like I think some of those things are just relatable for any parent. So I think it's a little extra.
We were the wolves at our house.
Yeah.
My mom said cats, though.
We were pigs.
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 Clean up after yourself.
No, it's like the expression in French, une sous à cochon.
Yep.
Oh, those were our bedrooms.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, a pigsty. Oh, yeah.
Right. We have it in English as well.
Oh, yeah. I had a sign on my door at some point because it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite was one time my grandma came to visit and had to use my bedroom. I put everything under the bed and my mom's like, that's not how you clean. I'm like, she can't bend over. She won't see the mess. My mom was so pissed.
The girl who leapt through time... I must confess, I've also seen the live-action version of this, which is actually a sequel to the cartoon.
Oh.
It's like the daughter of this character. Anyway, and when Marnie was there. So The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is a comedy, school comedy, although it does have its sad moments, about a girl who finds out, as many teenagers do, apparently, according to this movie, that she can go back in time, and she uses it for the stupidest reasons.
I mean... Would you not as well?
Avoiding awkward conversations. Oh, I don't like what you made for dinner. Goes back to Wednesday when she did like what was for dinner. It's a comedy. And then when Marty was there, not a comedy, there's this girl. This is a very gay-coded movie, I felt. But there's this girl who goes out to the country. This is a trope in many of these movies. It's a Ghibli film. And there's this house on the marsh where she sees a girl who seems to live in another time. Is this girl a memory? Is this girl a ghost? Is this girl an imagination? But she gets involved in her drama and grows from it. We start with Shotgun. What's your pick between these two films? Will you leap through time or visit a ghost?
It's hard. It's actually hard for me.
They're so different tonally. It feels like it's a different category. Mm. Yeah.
Marnie, I think I've seen in theater. A bit like Paprika, it didn't leave a lasting impression on me. I don't know why the first time I saw it. So I rewatched it because it was one that I really needed to rewatch for this exercise. And I loved it so much. Like, rewatching it made me realize how much of a good story this is. Similar to Arrietty and other movies where they go for clean air and in the... I should do that maybe when I get sick and leave the city. Anyway.
Come to my house.
Go to Jose's house. It's like giant rabbits and whatever.
And trees, apparently.
And chickens.
But yeah, I think it's a beautiful story about accepting who you are, learning to face your fears to a certain extent too. All the things that I didn't really connect or realize at first. I think The Girl Who Leapt Through Times, I had a similar experience with it because I do remember watching it a bit more. I did not remember all of the implication of why she got the power and where she get it from and all of the ending of the story. That really got me. It's so silly at first, and as you say, she travels through time for the silliest reason, which honestly I would probably do myself just to avoid having to cook again. I would just go back to when I cooked the night before when the meal is already ready.
Not that it makes any real logical sense, any of this, but
it doesn't.
That's how it works in the film.
Yeah, like the resolution of the movie is so sad, and I love it. So I think I will...
Sad, but it's not like... anime sad.
No, it's...
If you know what I mean.
Bittersweet is the right term, I think. And I don't know, as much as I think Marnie is a work of art, it's gorgeous and it's sad slash fun slash also, like, bittersweet. I really love the silliness of Let Through Time, so I'm going to go with time travel.
Josie?
I think I agree a lot with what you said about Marnie of, like, discovering who you are, because there is a part of her identity that is not revealed. And I love that. And I love how gay-coded it was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, the books I read now or, like, the graphic novels, like, if there's a gay character or a gay story, I'm extra sold on it. It's just a part of what I like to read right now. I find that, like, those two interests of, like, how she finds out who she is and the gay part, for me, like, at one point kind of comes head-to-head and does not end up how I thought it was going to end. And I always had a little issue with that. I was like, oh, no!
Oh, that's questionable.
Yeah, for me, at that point, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. And I'm like, oh, no, what was I thinking? This is kind of weird. And A Girl That Leapt Through Time, without spoiling anything, that just bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. It's so simple. They're barely talking. And yet again, every time I'm like, this is breathtaking and so beautiful. The way the sun is, how they interact, like how it's, I want to say shot, but it's not the right word, but like
drawn,
but like how they edit, like the characters, how they edit the view, etc. Everything together just works so well. And I would also use that power for stupidest of reasons. I'm late to work, I'll drive, go back in time and wake up 2 minutes early and hopefully make it on time. Both are everyday stories, like slice of life. But I just love how silly and how bittersweet A Girl That Leapt Through Time is. And that will also be my vote.
I was certain you would go for Marnie.
Me it too, is, because you brought Marnie to a movie night.
Yeah.
So I felt, okay, well, no, that's... That's gonna be, and it's your groove. It's very much your groove.
I still love it. Especially since she's an artist also.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I still love it. It's just that little part at the end that I find... The perfect example I can say is like you have certain expectations during the film. And at one point I was like, oh no, it's not going there anymore. And it didn't go in the direction I wanted. Okay. So
well, I think it matches my vote. I was going to vote for The Girl Left Through Time. I feel like there's a lot of whimsy
in
these choices.
What do you mean? Mike loves time travel?
First of all, so that keeps the comedy in there alive.
Right.
Which I'm happy to do. Next up is Akira versus Perfect Blue. Like when I shared this bracket with the outside world so that they could maybe plan out
what they thought we would
do. Are they going to guess who wins the whole thing and get a sandwich?
No, there's no such contest. Oh. But
no sandwich.
One person did say, man, if these two were like on opposite ends, they might find themselves in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Not with our violence hater on the panel. But Akira is like super famous. You know, mm-hmm. It's like a cyberpunk future.
Yeah. It's dystopian.
Is it not set in 2019?
It's already passed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's after World War III.
They should have taken 2020. It would have been so much weirder.
In any case, it's about kids with psychic powers and the government trying to control them. And it ends a little bit like 2001, A Space Odyssey. And then Perfect Blue is a thriller about a pop star who quits her group and really struggles. A stalker and there's murders. And by the end, it becomes hallucinatory. Shotgun? These are two of the boy movies.
I figured. So Akira, I watched in my 30 movie marathon thing I had never watched before. And that's basically one of the reason why I started that project. Because I was like, I know this movie, I've heard about it. It's such a classic. And I haven't seen it. There's something wrong with me. So I need to fix this now.
Okay.
And that's how I discovered most of the Ghibli movies. I haven't seen the ones less known, like Porco Rosso and Whisper of the Heart and whatever. But I didn't watch it since. And I remembered it quite differently from what is actually the movie. So I watched it back yesterday. So I watched like 6-7 movies in 2 days to prepare for this. So it's really fresh in my mind. And I don't like the characters. Tetsuo, which is the guy that gets awakened when he faces the old-looking child, I hate him. I hate him with a passion. I would kick his teeth in.
I don't think we're supposed to like him.
I don't think so
either. He's a Shinji.
from Neon Genesis Evangelion. Like, oh, you're not supposed to like them.
Well, they did it really great. Because I really, like, I feel like he's entitled. Even, like, when he escapes the first time, he's such a jerk to his friend. Ugh. And I remembered the grotesque ending, but I used to remember it lasting a lot longer than what I've seen when I rewatched it. Which is for the best that it's not that long, as I remember. It left quite an impression because I thought it was like a 30-minute scene when it was maybe 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. Thank God.
I can't disparage what it did for the industry, for anime in general, and to bring it to the West and make it known that this genre existed. And once again, it's not just for kids. But Perfect Blue is so different from anything else on this list. The story of reinventing yourself and trying to deal with the pressure of the showbiz. It must be so hard for celebrities to, like, you always have to be seen and perceived. And most of the time, it's not necessarily in a good way. And you have to push the boundaries of what's acceptable and what's not. And you have to put your own values aside to fit the narrative and be able to be recognized as something you're evolving, because the pop idols are untouchable. So it was important for her to change that perspective, but it went way too far, in my opinion, and in her opinion as well. She was not comfortable with the decision she made herself under pressure.
It's really about the dark side of fans.
Yeah.
And maybe that makes it even more relevant today.
For something that's been, I don't know when it came out.
It's 97?
Not, yeah, it's still so relevant today.
Something like that.
Never-ending scrutinization these celebrities go through. It's awful what people put them through at the end of the day. She has hallucination and all of that. It's insane, but it's so well done. So for me, my vote goes for Perfect Blue. I'll mention though that The Stalker, rewatching it, I hate that it brought this up to me, but he kind of looks like Benedict Cumberbatch and I hate it.
Josie, I mean, both of these are very violent.
Yes, yes, I know. However, to Shotgun's explanation, Akira, I will say it right now, I admire what it has done for anime, for bringing it to more people and how much it is important and da-da-dee-da-da-da, and I hate the film. It is one that, like, every time I watch it, and I watched it again, I was like, you know what, I haven't seen it in a while, maybe I'll have a different take, and I truly did go into this, like, with an open mind as much as I could, and, like, during it, I was like, oh, wow, the feelings I had the first time are not any less, they are maybe even stronger. And it's just like, again, the characters, most of them, I just want to punch. The science part of it.
Like, what's even Canada, like the is it Canada? Whatever.
Canada! Tetsuo! Canada!
Yeah, the friggin' main Canada. Character is like, he's kind of, the way he acts with the female yeah. character, it's icky.
It is icky. But what is that term where, I'm sorry, I can't think of the term, the MacGyver?
The MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin. Like, for me, this movie has a lot of MacGuffin where it's just like, they explain something and I'm like, what?
Right, technobabble.
Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. Why? Those creepy little aliens, like...
Kids?
Oh, no, they're aliens. They're so... Like, I remember seeing it quite younger and being like, oh, this is disturbing. And it still is. And the ending as well. Like, everything about it. Every new event that would happen, I was like, oh, I hate it so much.
Yeah, but the Akira bike scene that became a classic, you know?
That's been repeated in...
So many movies.
So many movies. So many movies.
I will say, I love the bike action. You see, I want that bike. I want that bike.
You see, me, the bike scenes remind me of when we shoot or we record podcasts and on the main street next to Mike's house, we hear a bike and we think, oh, look at that little dick being fancy. Ah, bothers me beyond belief. Now, for Perfect Blue. Again, violent and disturbing, but as much as I like violence, as much as I dislike violence, the mystery and thriller of it did intrigue me, like, even the first time I watched it, what was gonna happen, etc. Like, it reminds me a little bit of a true crime. Is it one of my favorite? Absolutely not. But I love how relatable it is, even though the story is not relatable, of like the pressure. I am nowhere being a famous human, but like even the pressures you feel at home, the pressures you feel at work, how it can slowly destroy you, rip apart little parts of you one thing at a time, I think is still relatable compared to Akira. It's, for me, there's nothing that I can relate to in this film.
So Akira moves.
No.
So vote goes to Akira.
No, it goes to Perfect Blue.
It's an upset. Of course, I would have voted Akira. So I'm on record, nerds. I am voting Akira. This is outrageous. Unacceptable. And yet...
Again, I value what it has brought.
The music. The weird ending that made everybody talk about it. What does it mean, etc. It's like you're more invested.
You mean the ending when they just drive away and they're like, ah, whatever.
No, no. But no, no. It's like the white... It goes into white and you just hear a voice. And when you saw that originally, it was like the sort of ending, like that's why I mentioned 2001, where then you have conversations about what might it mean and what does, you know, what would they say actually in Japanese? Because is this just like translation that doesn't quite match, etc. When that tape that I had, and eventually I traded it up for the DVD, and they changed the soundtrack. The English dub was changed. Like in the original, it was Michelangelo, the turtle, his voice for Kaneda. You could really tell. And the sounds were more violent.
Okay.
When the bike runs over somebody's arm, you could, there was a more noticeable crack. When Tetsuo is escaping and everything's falling apart, there's a big rock that falls on a security guard or something. There was an audible squish on the original dub. So the DVD doesn't do that.
Oh, okay.
And I gave my tape to my kid brother because we both liked the movie. And so I don't have the original dub anymore. To me, that is still the iconic anime film. It has to be Akira for me.
But honestly, if it would have been against something else in Perfect Blue, I would have probably voted for it. But I really love Perfect Blue.
And that's fine. Both movies are very mean. Both movies are upsetting.
If it would have been against certain other film, it would have won because I do recognize its importance. But at the end of the day, it's one of those animes that, like, I just don't like.
The final matchup in round one is between A Silent Voice, also known as The Shape of Voice in Japan, and The Boy and the Heron, the final Miyazaki film. And that's also not its real title.
Who knows? Maybe right? In a few years it will be the second retirement film.
But he's getting up there. Sorry.
He will live forever. He's an eternal being.
A Silent Voice is about, in sixth grade, this deaf girl was relentlessly bullied by this boy, who is actually our main character. And in a later grade, he feels really badly about this. He regrets it. And they strike up a strange friendship, story of redemption. That's also an Naoko Yamada film, so same director as...
Liz and the Bluebird.
Liz and the Bluebird. The Boy and the Heron was out in theaters very recently, the last Miyazaki film. It's kind of, it's Spirited Away meets My Neighbor Totoro, move out to the country, but it's a boy, and walk into this fantasy world just like in Spirited Away. So it's kind of a combination of that. What is your preference on this, Shotgun?
Something I really liked about The Boy and the Heron that was important to me, after watching The Wind Rises being the supposedly last movie of Miyazaki, I was so happy that he went back to being his crazy old self with a wacky world and weird creatures, birds, weird-looking birds.
Yeah.
The parakeets, the heron is grotesque as hell, but I love him. I love that character. It's also about, like, accepting grief and moving on from it, which is kind of weird that at the end of the day he meets his mom, even though it's about letting go, she's there. But I liked it a lot. I saw it in theaters in Japanese with English subtitles, and I really wanted to go see it back in English dub because I really wanted to hear Robert Pattinson's rendition of The Heron. The clips I've heard are so crazy. I will see it back just for that, for sure. Maybe it will become one of those movie like Howl's that I need to watch in English because of the voice acting. A Silent Voice... That's not bittersweet. That's just very sad. Everything about it. And I think you're underselling the impact of the bullying that had on the main character, because the thing is, it's got a reversal. When she left school because of the bullying he created on her, everyone turned on him and he became the victim. Not that it excuses him being a bully at first. Absolutely not. He was a brat. but his redemption is well done. It's a tale about thoughts of suicide, acceptance, and it's odd in our time, in our region, if you would go to a different school or whatever, like a different, we'll say college, because normally you will follow most of your classmate until grade 12. But if you go to a different college, that you would find each other at the same place and reconnect that easily. I find that really stretched in that movie, because they're in Tokyo. So in what world can they find each other so easily everywhere? There are really strong characters in that movie, like the mom, that the hairdresser mom, that that basically raises her sister's daughter at the same time as trying to deal with a kid that is really problematic. The main character himself, his growth is really interesting. The sister of the deaf girl, who knows that her sister struggles with mental health issues, tries to discourage her from having dark thoughts by taking pictures of dead animals everywhere. Like, the characters are really interesting, well built, but holy do I hate the teacher. The teacher, like, the villain of that movie is that teacher that does nothing and then blames it all on the main character. Mange ma marde. You're a piece of shit.
I think that's very realistic, though, at times.
Oh, that's the scary absolutely part. And it's not only about the bullying, it's about not having any accommodation in classroom. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just talking and talking about what the assignment is, and a kid is forced to take notes for the deaf girl that cannot hear. It drove, like, rewatching that. I'm a teacher by training, and
so impossible to tell what you're voting for.
I don't know. I love them both, but I think it's going to be a Silent Voice, because it just, God, it's sad, but it's beautiful.
Okay, Josie?
I agree a lot with what you said.
Sorry, because I said a lot.
No, that's okay. But, like, for a Silent Voice, I love certain details in the animation of, like, how the main character gets into depression and, like, doesn't see people. Mm. Like, that very small detail of, like,
they have X's on their faces.
Yeah, they have X's. Like, yeah. I find that very fascinating. And, like, I read the manga before the
movie. Do they do that in the manga?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And, like, impacts very the same way. And it's very, like, oh, like, that's how much, like, it has affected it. And I think it speaks volume, again, it doesn't excuse them, how the kids go from, well, we were bullying her, so we'll just bully you, like, bunch of rats all around. They're all terrible, in my opinion. And I love how it talks. It doesn't shy away from suicide. It really talks about it in detail and, like, really brings it out. And I think that's very important. Like, I don't like when they're, like, kind of talk about it in a not that hard way. It really shows it, and it's not shy about it, and I love that. And the boy and the heron, I love that he came back. Exactly like you said, I like that we get to go into a world and, like, escape to something. The only small issue I have is I loved how weird, mysterious the heron was at the start. How sinister. I love that. And then we turn a big 180 and it's really weird and silly. I would have liked a little bit more of a gradual. I just like how it was introduced at the start. Like, even the house, how creepy it is, how the maids are really weird, how the staff is interacting with the main character. I really love those parts. And when, not a big spoiler, when he gets into the tower, how it kind of takes a 180. I find it a bit too harsh. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What happened? I'm not a big fan of birds, but this one, I don't know. The characters were just silly enough that I was like, ugh. It's enjoyable. But to your point where he meets his mom, and I like that essentially she's just like, I'll figure it out. Like, if I go, I go. She helps him with his grief, and she's just like, I'll figure it out on my own. Don't worry about it. What happens is what happens. And I find that very touching. That being said, it's hard. They're so different, and I love them for such different reason. I think for this one, I will go with... can we just skip my turn?
I mean, you want to put a pin in it and ask me what I think?
No, not really.
Great.
I need to focus. I just... oh. It's the story of Miyazaki, a little bit like... yeah. His boy, his mom passing away at a young, when he was at a young age, him moving to the country, and the struggle of keeping a world alive.
That's what I like about The Boy and the Heron, because yeah. I was on record, I think, as liking it more than most.
Hmm.
Because as a goodbye film, yeah. which The Wind Rises didn't do for me, this felt very personal and like a last message and gracious. Mm-hmm. Because it was in the media that he was unsatisfied and rather harsh on the efforts of his son, who he left kind of the business to.
Yeah.
Well, so when he comes back, this story is about, no, you do your own thing.
Yeah.
It felt like an apology.
For me,
it felt like a, if you don't want to follow in my footsteps,
for me it was
that's fine. I'm now resigned to it.
Me, it was an acceptance of like, I did my work.
Right.
Now it is your turn to do
it. It is your turn. And also,
if it's not it, it's not it.
Exactly.
I vote Boy and the Heron.
Oh. Well, I may have convinced you of the wrong thing because...
Of the wrong thing?
In the sense that it's okay. Like, I made it sound like I was going to vote for the Heron, but
maybe she thinks you want.
But I'm not. Okay. So everything I just said, I admired it greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And the fascist budgies and the way that the stuff that in the real world was also the stuff in the fantasy world are sort of connected, which is also true of Spirited Away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot more of a downer than Spirited Away, even though there's, or even Totoro, even though they're kind of have similar genes. So I loved it a lot. However, I think, for everything that you both said, I think A Silent Voice is my favorite here. It's not just like the X's on the faces. It's like the camera looks away.
He looks at feet.
It's so well directed. And
am I changing my mind again?
Well, you don't need to, because in any case...
Oh, it's Silent Voice.
A Silent Voice moves on.
And honestly, I think the fact that I watched Silent Voice a few days ago versus not seeing The Boy and the Heron again after seeing once in theaters probably played against it. Like, maybe if I would have had an occasion to rewatch The Boy and the Heron, I might have voted for him. But in that case, it's another case where I don't care which one goes.
They're both.
Honestly, I think it's, if either would have won, I would have been like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, like, and I'd rated them the same. So, all right, so we have our top 16.
Jesus Christ.
Your Name, Pancreas, Princess Kaguya, House Moving Castle, Totoro, 5 Centimeters Per Second, The Cat Returns,
oh,
Mononoke, Nausicaa, Arrietty, Castle in the Sky, Kiki, Wolf Children, Girl Who Lived Through Time, Perfect Blue, and A Silent Voice. So we're going to take a break for a promo.
Some of these, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to deal with it.
And after the promo, we'll come back and it's going to go much faster because now everybody knows what we think. So it's going to be about putting all of these through their paces against one another. We'll be right back.
See you soon.
So which is the hottest Marvel character?
Iron Man.
Ant-Man. I can't decide between Professor X and Magneto, so both.
Loki.
Is Wolverine Marvel?
What about White Tiger?
What about White Tiger?
Doc Samson.
Who's
Star Fox.
That's a video game.
The girls go on a journey to determine every Marvel character's hotness in Ohotmu or Not, the official handbook of the Marvel Universe podcast you didn't know you wanted. Available on iTunes and at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
We're back, and it's round two. All right, let's start on the right side of the bracket to change things up. So on this side, Nausicaa is now against Arrietty. I made my feelings clear. Arrietty for me was the world I wanted to live in, much more than Nausicaa. So Arrietty would move on for me. What about you, Shotgun?
I also think, like, sorry, Jose, it will move on without your vote, but I still want to hear your opinion on that. I think Arrietty is a stronger movie than Nausicaa. I resonate more with it, and it's just more fun overall. So I will go with Arrietty.
A turn of events. No, I'm joking. It would be the secret world of Arrietty as well. Just love the world, the characters, and just...
Seems pretty easy.
Yeah.
Next up, Castle in the Sky goes up against Kiki's Delivery Service. Both great films, both Miyazaki's. I think, I continue to think that Kiki's Delivery Service is the stronger film, one of the stronger Miyazaki offerings. So my vote is for Kiki, Shotgun.
I think I'm going to vote Castle. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Castle in the Sky. And don't get me wrong, I freaking love Kiki. But one of the strengths that Castle has against Kiki, in my opinion, is just there's more full-fledged characters that are well-developed. So again, the pirates, I love them. The mystery that comes with the floating island and everything is really cool. But it's a hard one because Kiki is so good as well. But I will go Castle in the Sky, knowing full well José will let Kiki move on.
With no surprise, as it is my favorite. Is it the perfect film? No, but
it is. Oh, it's not. Okay, let's put a note down here.
Hey, no, give me a second.
For later.
Is it the perfect film? No, because I understand that, like, there's much better films creditly awarded and, like, better styled, whatever. But for me personally, it is a perfect film for me. I let it move on, obviously.
All right. Then we have Wolf Children versus The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. That's not an obvious one. I haven't really thought about it. I'm going to keep The Girl Who Leapt Through Time alive. I agree, Wolf Children is maybe the richer film, and yet my time travel excuse. It's a time travel movie.
Of course.
I'm going to vote for The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, kind of thinking it's not going to win. Shotgun. What?
I don't know. I am... Wolf Children gets me every time and even more now than ever. But there's something I really love about The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. I love the sort of romance that's there and all, but jeez, it's not easy. I'm a coward. I'll go with Wolf Children just so José's decide.
Oh, it's okay because
they're both by the same director.
Yes.
So Hosoda did both.
I'm voting for Wolf. Mm-hmm. For me, it is such a strong story over the Girl That Leapt Through Time. Not saying that it's not an emotional and strong story. For me, it's such a strong story, especially of the mom learning how to deal with everything and at the end letting go of what she needs to let go. For me, speaks such strong words. It's so strong.
Wolf Children moves on. Finally, we have on this side of the bracket, Perfect Blue versus A Silent Voice. Easy for me. I was not a huge fan of Perfect Blue to begin with. I voted Akira in that particular matchup, so I will vote for A Silent Voice in this particular instance. Shotgun.
I will do the same. It's too strong, too relatable, and too beautiful not to continue.
José, you agree?
Yeah, I would have voted the same. Again, same as Shotgun. It's just so relevant, a story of today.
Although I love Perfect Blue.
And they're both stories I find are very relatable to today, but I think this one speaks louder.
All right, let's go back to the left side. Possibly an easy one, but I guess, given what you've said before. José, Your Name versus I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Your Name. Such a top film for me. It's everything. Great story, great characters, great animation. The other one, beautiful, just not as strong.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
One thing you didn't mention in that list is just the premise. Just an amazing... Yeah. Thought-provoking science fiction fantasy premise about identity, about
and
human
I find
contact, you know.
Me being not a big fan of, like, tech or, like, science stories, it's just enough. It's not, like, too intense. It's just very simple. And I find it keeps...
You don't have scientists going on and on about why this is happening.
No.
I think thank God.
They're just living it, and I think that's so strong. And I love, again, without spoiling anything, the twist that it's not just body swaps. I remember seeing that twist and being like, what do you mean?
So we both voted for Your Name, Shotgun.
I would have also voted for Your Name. One thing I love is how they communicate as well. It would fuck up your life, honestly, yeah. If you would wake up in someone else's body, not especially switch of sex, so you don't know how to handle that gender and different custom and different cities and different... Anyway, so the guidelines they put in place and everything, I love that. It's a great dynamic. Although, something I forgot to mention, I said earlier that a lot of those movies had, like, books parallel or whatever. Something I forgot to mention about Pancreas is the parallel with The Little Prince.
Oh, yeah.
At the end, especially how, well, I mean, the book is in it as well, but the visual they created to when you read the diary, so beautiful.
José,
yeah.
We now have The Tale of Princess Kaguya going up against Howl's Moving Castle. Tough one.
Oh.
Both gorgeous films. yes. This is the first really impossible one?
Yeah, for me, yeah, because my top three is Princess Kaguya, Kiki, and Howl's Moving Castles. For me, those are the, like...
But not necessarily in that order.
Not in that order, no. So for me, it's really like a... Like, Howl's Moving Castle was one of my first introduction, like, a better, like, not a child. Princess Kaguya, the art style is something that takes my breath away every time as an artist. So for me, it's literally, like, art versus story a little bit. And I am struggling a little bit, and I don't know. And it's one of those things that, like, choose between your two kids, and it's like, I can't.
Sophie's choice.
And it's a little bit like, whichever I choose, I know I'll regret.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter which one I pick.
It's not even, I'm going to be happy whichever goes on. It's, I'm going to regret it.
Yeah, because, like, again, these films don't have feelings, but I feel like apologizing for the film I won't pick. That being said, I'm picking Howl's Moving Castle. I'm so sorry.
It's okay, because I'm going to vote for Princess Kaguya.
Oh.
I think it has a unique art style that we don't see on here.
Mm-hmm. Enough.
Well, yes. A lot of people who don't like anime will often say, well, it all looks the same, and it's all kind of the same style. It's not true, but there are stylistic tropes. A lot of the art has similar vibes. There's a tradition. There's an art tradition. This one kind of avoids... It's rooted in that, but it avoids that style, creates something entirely different. And I really resonate with the idea that, like, she wants to see nature, and at first it's a sketchbook of watercolor, the way it looks. And you're looking at just random nature pieces. You're looking at plants and bugs, and because that's why she came there. But as soon as she's introduced into the court, she starts to die, basically, because that's exactly what she was escaping. Well, so as on Earth, up above, is, you know, there's like this mirror all throughout. Whereas I'll levy this criticism at Howl's Moving Castle. At the end, it feels a bit rushed. At the end, it's just like, we ran out of time, happy ending. And I hold that against it. So I'm voting for Princess Kaguya. Shotgun, you're the tiebreaker.
It's not an easy one for me as well. And that's going to be surprising because I didn't vote for it in round one, but I'm going to go for Kaguya. And the reason why it's... You said it's art versus story. I disagree. I think where lacks, it's in a story. The fact that the Lost Brin is mentioned between... like, in characters in the background, and it's a plot point suddenly, and it does feel rushed. Yeah. The strength of Owl's Moving Castle is not in the story, it's in the characters.
Yeah.
So, and I love that the main character is an older woman, even though she's young, just cursed. It's still not good enough for me to go against something so well-built as Princess Kaguya and so unique. So, Kaguya?
Kaguya moves on. Possible upset, depending on your feelings.
But also, aren't you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it's going to get worse. All right, going on, we have My Neighbor Totoro is now up against 5 centimeters per second.
Why is Josie starting on that end?
This whole luck side of it. Draw. This whole side of it is like Jose's nightmare.
The next one's easy, at least.
For you?
Yeah, for me.
Oh gosh, golly.
All right. Both films are beloved by me for much different reasons. Totoro, slice of life. 5 centimeters per second, slice of life. However, I find that as much as I like both, for me, Totoro would win. 5 centimeters per second, it is still one of my favorite personally, but what I would say is lacking in that film, I See It in Your Name, which I think is, it's by the same director, and it is just a work that is better. Totoro, for me, even though it is not my favorite of the two somehow, I still vote it up. Just, I can't even explain it anymore.
It needs to be on here. That's fine. That's legitimate.
Yeah. Okay. The end.
Because I'm going to agree with you.
Okay.
On paper, I have rated 5 centimeters per second higher than My Neighbor Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
However, for what you said, for the fact that there's perhaps more of a story or a world to My Neighbor Totoro, for its iconic elements, its iconic characters, whereas the other one, I still respect the other one tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
But it's an hour compared to, like, the 2 hours of most of these films. I think if we're moving on from this round, you need just a little bit more. I think I agree with you that Your Name is kind of the standard bearer for that style, that director. So I'm voting Totoro
which would make it, well, not unanimous, but would make it move forward.
Yeah, it's not unanimous. I would have voted 5 centimeters per second.
Oh, shoot. So which it's is, a good thing I didn't.
Yeah, which is funny because it's the two movies I didn't vote for. So I voted for Sword of the Stranger and I voted for Whisper of the Heart.
Right.
So
but they beat your favorites. That gives them some respect.
Yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day, I still understand why Totoro needs to move on. And I agree what you say, but 5 centimeters per second, for me, visually and connecting with it, is stronger.
All right. Finally, in this round, The Cat Returns versus Princess Mononoke.
I'm scared.
You're scared? Really?
You should be. You should be. Is Shotgun's favorite going to be voted down?
Is she leaving after this?
I'm about to cry.
Okay. So, Josie.
Again, admire what...
Oh, dude, just say it.
No, yeah.
I admire what Princess Mononoke brought, but... I'm so sorry.
But you never liked it.
No. The perfect way I can explain it is I love how the town is explained, how the theme of the leader of the town, how she explains it to the main character, what it takes a little bit.
Yeah, because she's not quite the villain.
Bushi is one of the best characters in that movie.
Like, she's the antagonist, but she's not the villain.
She's not the villain. She's just doing what she thinks is the best, which I think is very important that, like, sometimes what you think is the best is not the best for everyone, which is admirable. But again, for me, the world of the cats, it's just so silly and it wins.
Okay.
You know, world destruction about nature and how to conserve it. Cats.
Yes. And we know I'm a big cat person and I love cats and that I was...
Aren't we all?
I was pushing for The Cat Returns earlier. It's completely insane and I love it. But no, it's Mononoke.
You had nothing to worry about. I knew it.
It's Mononoke. We need like this big action adventure. We need the violence. We need something like that to keep going in our bracket. A boys' film. A boys' film. Come on. Yeah, I'm voting for Princess Mononoke. Which...
If you would have said The Cat Returns, I would have taken 45 minutes to talk about Mononoke at this moment.
Until we switched our votes.
No. I just, this movie. So, of course, my vote also goes to Mononoke, and I love The Cat Returns. But, gosh, that movie. I mean, I work in environment also, so it connects on another level at this point. But, because it's supposedly more in the feudal era of Japan. And as you said, like, Lady Eboshi is not necessarily evil. She takes care of lepers that no one, like, wants. They're shunned away from society, and she takes them in, and she gives them purpose and a job.
The value she puts into women.
Yeah, the women that were in brothels that she buys out so that they can work at the forge, and they become so independent and
proud. And she gives so much respect to them, even though they had a questionable path. Like, that's so good.
No, it's a great movie all around. And even, like, Ashitaka as the protagonist, he has his challenges, he has his own purpose and his own objective, but he sways and moves with the reality that he's experiencing through this story. It's a masterpiece. It's so good.
Mononoke moves on. Here we are, round three. All right, round three. Let's do an X and start in the bottom quadrant. Totoro must meet Princess Mononoke.
And I go first. I wonder which one I'll vote for. Mononoke moves on for me. You guys decide, but that's my vote.
Well, I wonder what I'll vote for.
Okay, so Jose, you're a Totoro fan, right? Okay.
That's a tiebreaker. Yeah.
Good luck, Mike.
Great. This is the round where I get to be tiebreaker. Awful.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I know.
It's Mononoke.
I know.
Yeah, Mononoke. I've been living with Mononoke longer as well. It has to move on.
I know.
All right. Put that rabbit to bed. To death.
No.
Put him down. So Mononoke moves on and we'll go to the semifinals. That's where we're deciding here who goes to the semifinals. Kiki's Delivery Circus.
I want to see that movie now.
Kiki's Delivery Service and The Secret World of Arrietty, Shotgun.
Oh, that's a hard one.
I feel like Arrietty's a little bit like the dark horse.
Which, you know what I'm thinking right now is I'm the tiebreaker, technically, at this point, I think. Because I know what Josie will vote, and I think I know what you will vote, so...
Mike's not really the tiebreaker here.
I think it's my decision that will...
It seems foregone conclusion. We can just say it.
For me, it is Kiki, obviously.
And for me, it is going to be The Secret World of Arrietty, which is the underdog here.
Yeah. No,
I realize.
I think they're both underdogs.
Well, either one of them can make it to the final, yeah. I think.
I think these two films are often overshadowed by others. So.
And they're very similar in their feels.
So Shotgun, you're going to break that tie. That's fine. We've made our peace.
I think I'm going to go with Kiki. Arrietty is delightful. It's beautiful. The same way you lived with Mononoke for longer, I've lived with Kiki longer also. So when I saw Arrietty the first time, it gave me Kiki's vibe.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
So I think I'm going to go with Kiki.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Okay, Kiki moves on. I think it's fair. I think that's legitimate. Wolf Children meets A Silent Voice.
Oh, gosh.
Which is it going to be?
Is it the bullying or the raising kids alone?
Both terrible.
Oh, both terrible things. I think I'm going to go with Silent Voice, just because that's what I decided.
Interesting.
And meets Wolf Children, just because I decided, but like, both stories are very strong, but I am not a mom. None of my families are single moms, but like, even though I was very bullied as a kid, Wolf Children just speaks to me in a level that like, I don't know.
All right.
I mean,
I know how to break this tie.
It's also being about being desperate and all of that. We can all relate to that level of desperation, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
The same way that it's not because you've been bullied or that you had thought of suicide that you will relate to Silent Voice.
I never limit myself to, is this relatable?
No.
Because at some point, media, whether it's books, comics, movies, it's also about empathizing with a perspective that is not your own.
Yeah, a lot of people so it doesn't have to be that.
Don't relate. Agree. You don't have to relate to it in the sense that, oh, this has happened to me. You can relate to it as, oh, I empathize with this
and
other
I can
reality.
Learn from that experience yes. that I did not experience myself.
This is how I will break this tie. It's animation. And as much as I've loved a lot of these movies are just slice of life, I think animation is, you know, a strong excuse to show imagery that you could not do in live action.
Correct.
And so I'm going to vote for the movie that has a fantastical element because that's the thing that would not work in live action. Where as much as A Silent Voice brings some visual elements, the X's and it's mostly something that you could do in live action. So In this case, as we move to the semifinals, I think it becomes important to really use animation to its fullest. I will vote for Wolf Children, even though on paper, I did not rate it as highly as A Silent Voice.
I'm okay with that.
All right. For the last film that's going to go to the semifinals, it's Your Name versus Tale of Princess Kaguya. Shotgun.
Both are breathtaking, but story-wise, I definitely prefer Your Name.
That's same for vote. You, Jose?
I will vote Your Name, but like if I would have voted Kaguya and you would have been the tiebreaker, Mike, and you would have chosen either or, I would have been happy with either or.
At this point, it's no longer a regret.
Yeah, it is no longer a regret. So for this one, it will be Your Name.
I would have gone the same way.
Shinkai, strong.
But these two are two of the strongest films on here. You know, if they were not in the same block, they'd still both be alive, I think. And that brings us to the semifinals. Before we ring the bell, let's just take stock. Let's just look at what our final four is and maybe, you know, do we agree with this? So it's Your Name, Princess Mononoke, Kiki's Delivery Service, and Wolf Children, which is kind of that one's now the underdog.
I'm happy it went further than I wanted it to go far, and I'm surprised that it didn't get cut earlier.
It should be Akira. In that spot.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it should be Akira. Look.
Oh, okay, yes, if we would have
in
voted.
The block, that should have belonged to Akira. If I get two boys in here.
I think this side could have stayed the same. Your Name, Mononoke.
Your Name might still be there. Well, hopefully. Like the boys' choices. Grave of the Fireflies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus Princess Mononoke still there.
Yeah.
On this side of it.
Ghost in the Shell.
And then Akira.
Yeah.
That would have been like a Boise. A more Boise
boring.
Pull. Well, probably wouldn't have been the same stuff either.
No.
They, like their own picks would have been maybe...
Different, yeah.
Different. I mean, we're happy with this. Yeah. We're going to have no choice at this point. Semifinals, round four. The first semifinal, Kiki's Delivery Service versus Wolf Children.
At this point, I'm not sure I feel like I have a horse in the race. Or wolf in the race. A cat in the race. It's wolves versus cats. Which would mean cats.
Well, in your perspective, it should be, but I mean...
It should be Kiki's Delivery Service. Yeah, I think I'm going to vote against the underdog. The underwolf. I'm going for Kiki. What about you? Shotgun?
Yeah, I think I'm going for Kiki as well. I think it's... I don't want to say the obvious choice, because Wolf's Children has lots and lots of merits, but Kiki is Kiki.
Is it the obvious choice?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
And yeah. I forgot. Again, like Shotgun said, Wolf's Children has a lot to offer, but on a personal level, Kiki for me is top.
Okay, so Kiki moves to the finals.
I'm so happy.
Now it's rough, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's your name versus Princess Mononoke. Gosh. Your name is always top of the list on every list that you find. That doesn't mean we have to do that. We don't have to be conformists. And Princess Mononoke...
Also on top.
Also very much on top, for good reason. It's like the older versus the newer. It's a Miyazaki, which we thought, oh man, Miyazaki's all over this, and it's almost not fair for every other director.
Which is really funny, seeing that our semifinals, there was only two Miyazaki.
So will it be Miyazaki versus Miyazaki at the end? Well, I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind based on the other people's opinions. But I will go with the obvious choice of Your Name at this point. Just like to throw something into the arena. And you know what? It's going to mean Jose is going to... If I do Your Name and you're going to do Princess Mononoke, then Jose is going to be the tiebreaker.
You know, I know. So I was already accepting, like, I saw the bracket and I basically said, like, okay, it's probably going to die in semifinal, which is fine. But even for me, it's hard because I love both movies for such different reasons. I'll say, though, because I didn't mention it, which is very weird, it would be funny for me if it would be Mononoke versus Kiki, because those are two cosplays I have. I have cosplayed Kiki, and I'm the costume, the cosplay I'm the most proud of is my San, Princess Mononoke herself. I made the mask myself, the mask, with papier-mâché. I made a cape that looked like a wolf skin. The dress that I distressed, the earrings.
The fangs on the collar.
Yeah, like I did everything from scratch. Like,
it's one of your best.
I've never done...
And your spear?
Yes, the knife. I don't think I had the spear, but a knife. Anyway, I worked so long on it. I think that proves the amount of devotion I have for that movie. So yes, the tiebreaker will go to Jose, but... And I know that it's, you're going to go Your Name, and that's absolutely fine. I adore this movie, but my heart will always go to Mononoke. I have San and Moru on my shoulder, and I want to have Ashitaka and Yakul on the other shoulder, and I want to have Kodamas in my sleeve when I do it. Love that movie, man.
But there's a vote for each.
For me, I will go Your Name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. You hate Princess Mononoke.
I don't hate. I still watch it. It's just... And it's something that we didn't mention about Your Name that I wanted to mention. I was like, oh, we're talking too long. I should maybe not say it. It's I love how they love to learn from each other by living their lives, from seeing the perspective of someone else. You can be like, oh, I get your perspective. You don't really. Like, I really like that they really learn from each other, from being each other in a way.
Especially, it's like the ultimate empathy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, it's really like, especially Taki, that's learning... They're both Japanese, but her culture at the shrine, her tradition, and like what made her the way she is.
Yeah, the way she interacts with the family, the sister and the grandmother.
It touches me every time.
But also the way she roots for him with his potential date. Yeah. How she arranges everything, and she sewed her dress back and everything.
And like, she's so willing to help. And yet again, he's... Not that he's not interested, but he's like, this is not what I want.
Anymore, yeah.
And, yeah, anymore. Like, he had, like, his development. And I love that part of, like, learning to know each other.
All right. We've gotten into the finals.
Pew, 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 pew.
Round 5. The final, Your Name versus Kiki's Delivery Service. Both of them. What? Is it actually tough now?
You hate us.
Jose? Uh-huh. Because you're going to go first.
Oh. No, you should... See, that's why you should have voted Mononoke, so that it would have been easy for you to vote Kiki.
These are some of my favorite films. I'm really happy that I would consider Kiki somewhat of an underdog getting all the way to the top. Your Name, I know, is one that's always on the list, like top movies, etc. And this is really hard because I'm like, well, you know, Kiki, oh, your name. Da, 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 da. And my internal struggle is hard. Give me a minute. Like, I'm literally watching the films in my mind split in two, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, this part, and like, oh, yeah, these characters, and like, oh, yes, yes, and this, and like, it's not helping. How can I say this? It doesn't matter what you guys vote for. You want to live with your choice.
You want to live with your choice, okay.
I want to live with my choice.
That's good.
Because, like, I did a choice earlier that either or was the wrong choice because...
Helen
and
Kaguya, you mean?
Yeah, both are. Like, I'm sure if I would have voted Kaguya, I would have been like, oh, you bitch, that was wrong. And and what I voted, I was like, oh, you bitch, that was wrong. So this as well, it's like, it doesn't matter what wins, it's my internal dilemma.
Regardless, you're not sleeping tonight.
Probably not, as most nights. For me, one of them, it's the story of... the struggle and how I relate to it. And again, like you said, it's not about always relating because, you know, I never swapped bodies or time traveled in my life. But, you know, I relate to their love story. Both are beautifully animated. One is at another level than the other, I will say. Oh, that being said, I will still go and vote Kiki.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's wrong. I'm already wrong.
Well,
I would have said your name and I would have been like, no, it's wrong.
I'll vote for your name. At another level of animation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just, like, just on animation's basis, I'm going to vote your name. I think it's maybe more a more subtle piece, more adult piece than Kiki. So I'm voting your name, which makes it a vote for each, which means Shotgun gets to break the tie on the ultimate winner.
Are we going to go with the underdog or are we going to conform?
I don't believe Kiki is an underdog.
No.
No, okay. It's like one of the best known ones.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel it's when I talk to people, they're not that they don't know it.
Who are these people?
Give me a sec. It's not that they don't know it. They just say like, ah, oh, it's just a kid's one.
I don't watch it.
It's not one of the top ones, so I don't like it. And it's like that attitude that I'm like, vomit.
I think it's for the whole family. I don't feel like Kiki is any lesser, despite my vote,
what?
In which there is masturbation.
Yes.
It's the more adult.
It's hard because at the end of the day, I think both movies, when I think about them, to me, speak of hope. For Kiki, yes, there's like this struggle and getting back into it and finding solutions and reinventing oneself, stepping up when your friends are in need. So again, message of hope. Whereas your name, it's tragic when he finds out what happened to the town and when they start forgetting and idiot doesn't write what they're supposed to and they can't actually find each other, but they catch a glimpse of each other at the end without... And that's it. We don't know anymore. So there's the hope of them coming back together.
Maybe we can put like a voiceover.
Yeah, sure. Maybe in English.
They saw each other.
And then they got married and lived happily ever after. Like, or they had their lives of their own and didn't care about another anymore. They didn't even realize who they were. Fuck you. So again, you can hope for them to have their happy ending, even though like maybe it's not what they need, where they are in their life at that moment anyway. So maybe it's fine that they're not together. So...
Yeah, those are the two films.
Yes, it
yeah,
sure is.
Sure is.
It's not going to be the upset. I'm going to go with your name. I think it's on the top of many charts for a reason.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here.
It's fantastic.
Your name is the best anime movie ever in this moment, according to these three people. And even so, they might think differently from one another.
Again, we're not experts. We just appreciate the art.
And you know what? In this semifinal, I voted Mononoke, obviously. But objectively speaking,
if Mononoke would have been versus your name...
In the final, I probably would have voted your name.
Okay.
Like, I voted Mononoke, but that was
very mature.
I mean, sometimes. But also, I would have voted Mononoke, and you would both have voted your name, which would have ended in the same result. But in the same way, if Mononoke would have won against your name, I figure Kiki would have, again, not won. Which is fine.
Yeah.
That's what bracket fighting is.
Yeah. Even if I technically lost, or Kiki lost.
I think you're the one who had the more chance of winning with that final.
I mean, it's still one of your favorite films that won.
Yeah, but for me, it's even though Kiki didn't make it, like, the film that won deserves everything that it did win.
We're ready for your angry comments about many of them.
Thanks for doing this.
Let us know.
Jose Shotgun, thank you for doing this. And let me warn you, do not read the comments. There is only heartbreak in the comments.
Okay.
People tend to get pretty heated when it comes to bracket fights, especially if their favorites didn't win or weren't even in the bracket or didn't go as far as they wanted them to go. But if you're out there, be nice.
As we said from the start, Mike pretending we're experts. We're not. We have our own tastes.
You're fans. Like I said at the top of the show, this is only the correct answer for this particular sample of people at this particular moment in time.
And if you agree, cool. If you don't agree,
tell us what you'd like.
That's what makes it interesting, that everyone has a different idea and taste and history.
Anyways. I'll see you two when we next record Ohadmu or Not.
We still do that?
This is our monthly show.
We've done that for so long now.
Episode 99 is coming up next week.
God. Oh, Jesus Christ. What do we do for 100?
Hot chocolate. It's really cold out.
Anyway, that show is also on the network. Siskoid Cinema Battles is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. So if you're listening to this and have your own opinions on what we discuss, please feel free to head over to fireandwaterpodcast.com to leave a comment. I'll read them on the next Batlin episode. And if you like this content, think about visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/FW podcast. That's it. Cut it. Print it.